coming to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. What a show we have for you today. Lots of guests, lots of stories to get to. As I'm driving in today, I was feeling good. It's Friday. It is Friday, right? My day's been all messed up this week, but it's Friday. I was feeling good. I got some videos that are sort of on the lighter side. It's going to be a happy day today. Get in the office. I'm like, let me remind myself what guests I have. Oh boy. Oh boy. We're going to be talking about, assisted suicide in Canada with, Kelsey Sharon. And we'll be joined in the third hour by Tiffany Cianci, who I like to call the bubbly little fairy of doom, since she's always so happy and bright, but always comes with, information that makes you think the world is on fire. But luckily we're going to have, certainly a bright spot when we talk about the skyrocketing now downturning price of silver with Kirk Elliott in the second hour. So lots of guests today. We're going to get into it. We're going to keep it light, even though the topics that we're covering are probably the most crazy, insane, depressing crap in the world, but we'll keep it light because after all, the really, you know, upsetting thing about this is that it's been happening in the dark for so long and bringing it to light. However, horrifying the information is, the bringing it to light itself is a positive thing if you want to stop the horrors from being perpetuated. So a very big show today. Stay tuned for all of it. Let's begin today as we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks. Your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 12th of December, 2025. A new tranche of Epstein photos have been released. Infowars.com has the story. See the latest Epstein photos. Dems call, quote, disturbing. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee on Friday released 19 photos from a trove of over 95,000 showing various influential figures associating with Jeffrey Epstein, including at his infamous island estate. This, of course, tranche of documents would be included in all of the files that don't exist. Meanwhile, Trump pardons Tina Peters for the crime of demanding honest elections. On Thursday night, President Donald Trump announced that he will be issuing a pardon for Tina Peters, a patriot who simply wanted to make sure that our elections were fair and honest. Peters served as a Republican clerk of Mesa, Colorado in 2024. She was convicted of participating in a scheme to breach voting systems and sentenced to 9 years in prison due to exposing election fraud that she had evidence of. And We really got to do like a full deep dive expose of the Tina Peters case, along with the Oath Keepers case, along with the lawsuits against InfoWars. Each one of these, you know, set its own records in terms of total lawlessness and absurdity. But Tina Peters certainly never deserved how she's been treated, and thank God she's been pardoned now. Meanwhile, 10,000 illegals have been arrested in Sanctuary City, Los Angeles since June. Federal authorities have apprehended more than 10,000 illegal aliens in the Los Angeles area alone in the last 6 months. And that's just barely the tip of the iceberg. Meanwhile, New York may lose $73 million in federal highway funds over quote unquote flawed immigrant commercial driver's licenses. Basically, over half of the licenses that were issued in the state of New York were fraudulent. Over half, 53% of the license, like commercial driver's licenses of the big, dangerous trucks you have to be an expert to drive, half of them were given out fraudulently. Total scam across the board. Speaking of, we have this. National Trust sues to stop Trump's ballroom construction. I believe the story's from today. Why is the article from January 21? I think that date's just wrong because the ballroom didn't exist then. It does now, but not if the historic preservationists have anything to say about it. They're begging Donald Trump in October not to rapidly demolish the White House's East Wing Annex for his ballroom project. And now he's begging them not to build it up. I don't know. I thought they issued a, this might be the wrong article because they issued a new thing. Basically, Trump just can't do anything. He can't kick people out of the country without a bunch of judges stopping him. He can't prosecute his enemies without the DOJ messing it all up. And he can't build a room on his own house without a historic preservation society mishandling their responsibilities and abusing their authority by throwing yet another wrench in yet another set of spokes. Thanks, guys. What would we do without you? Oh, whatever we want? Great. You have to go away now.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joined in studio by Kelsey Sharon. She is a combat veteran, mental performance coach, and independent journalist. She's the host of The Kelsey Sharon Perspective, a best-selling author, and leading voice of the movement exposing Canada's MAID expansion. That's medical assistance in dying, medical suicide, your doctor kills you. They come up with fancy ways of saying that. She writes extensively on Substack about institutional failure, medical overreach, and the real human cost of state-sanctioned death. You can find that Substack at Kelsey Sharon and on X at Kelsey Burns. Kelsey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
My pleasure. I don't understand how you have energy after your display on the Alex Jones show. You were just, the information never stopped.
Well, you know what it is? I've been doing this for so long and we're finally beginning a chance to have the voice. I honestly thought I had 20 minutes, so I was going to crack it out as quickly as possible. So I will be less of a chipmunk here. But to be honest with you, I have been screaming about this for so many years. And so it's about time. So when anytime I get a chance to have this discussion, I'm going to force it down your throat so hard. So maybe we can wake up the globe to the eugenics program that is rolling into America and Canada and is just expanding at a pace that is horrific.
And it has rolled into Canada in a very big way. And I went ahead and just searched MAID in my bookmarks folder. Mm. I just want to run through some of these headlines.
That's
just
good.
So people can understand exactly what we're dealing with.
Perfect.
First of all, the most recent one, Health Canada reports finds euthanasia now accounts for over 5% of deaths in the nation of Canada, 1 in 20 deaths. Canada considers risky expansion of doctor-assisted euthanasia. So now it's things that won't kill you, but, you know, leave you in pain. They'll kill you for that. One-third of Canadians are apparently fine with assisted suicide for homelessness. That's a convenient solution that you can't
awesome.
Mess it up. All right. MAID eligibility should expand to minors. Patients with mental illness, report recommends, right? They call them mature minors. Here that is, re-examining medical assistance and dying for mature minors in Canada. That is 12-year-olds that want to die. Canada is funding coloring books for children about MAID. That's what this looks like.
Dying with Dignity specifically. Make sure you say their name.
There you go. Dying with Dignity. Thank you for teaching our children that death is to be embraced, you absolute psychopaths. I mean, it just goes on and on. I'll speed it up here.
Please.
She went to the hospital with suicidal thoughts. Clinic. I mean, that one is just almost funny if it wasn't so morbid. Like, I'm suicidal. Well, we can help with that, you know. Assisted suicide becomes third leading cause of death in Quebec.
8%
cult of death.
Now. 8%.
Oh, it's up. Okay, it's up. This was in July. They've increased their percentage. Fantastic. Canadian fashion firm, you guys watch that ad, actually celebrating it. Death is solution to poverty. So homelessness, poverty, depression. Medical assisted deaths could save, and here we have the reason for it, at least one of the many reasons for it. It could save millions in healthcare spending. You
already
know,
is $117 billion currently as it stands without the expansion.
The savings are really what it's all about, right?
Well, it's about to get worse, right? Because there was a paper by Western University that came out and they said, if it expands, now they slapped me because on Jillian Michaels, I said it's expanding because the laws are expanding. And in 2027, we're going to be killing people with euthanasia for just mental illness U.S. alone. So in 2027 to 2047, as it expands, looking at not only mental illness, but also looking at expanding to mature minors. Don't you love the verbiage they use? They love to sanitize their language. That's children down to the age of 12. They will be saving roughly $1.273 trillion. That's not what they're planning to make on organs. That's not what they're planning to make on the rest of the body parts or just the savings on pensions. Because here's the thing, Harrison, the dead don't talk. They don't complain and they don't require pensions or disability.
So convenient.
Isn't
really,
it
it's just, it's like the one solution. I can't believe we didn't think of this before, right? And actually, here we have a twist. This was, I remember this story back in 2021. Yeah, how about this one? Assisted death for vaccinated only.
Oh, yes.
So you have to be vaccinated to be killed by the state. Darn it. They're stopping us unvaccinated people from being killed by our doctors. Shoot. What else are we missing out on?
I know. And here's the crazy part. I just said this on InfoWars, but it bears repeating. Out of the 1,800 providers, only 300 are doing all of the death. And from 2016, when it got legalized, to last year, the end of 2024, was 92,000 Canadians were wiped off the face of the earth. That is a small town.
And if you expand that out, I was somebody did the math earlier. I mean, this is hundreds of thousands in terms of American population,
in terms of
percentage of the population.
So can we talk about America briefly?
Yeah.
Let's step off of the leaders in death, which is Canada and Quebec, because that is them, which is such a great province. Anyway, let's talk about America, because America, you guys seem to message me all the time. You know, Kelsey, I know it's so bad in Canada, but this would never happen in America. Well, I've been banging on that drum for a while. You now have 12 states and one jurisdiction doing this. Let's name them, shall we? Hawaii, California, Colorado, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, Washington, D.C., Washington State, and our brand new ads are Delaware and Illinois. And you have 20 bills in all these other states that are looking at being brought forward and being pushed on. And here's the difference between Canada and America, because this does bear stating. Canada is a eugenics full-blown program, and it is expanding into America. But here's the difference. The MAID program, which is a sanitized word for murder, is when the doctor gives you two IVs, pumps you full of drugs, gives you a paralytic so you don't convulse because it's nothing more than lethal injection. Your lungs go into a pulmonary edemic state. That's not me stating it. That's Dr. Joel Zivit from Emory State University with the largest postmortem autopsy on lethal injection patients. And it is akin, and I quote, to waterboarding or drowning to death. Now, in America, they do this lovely thing called physician-assisted suicide. It's where they take this cup, my friend. They fill it with a bunch of water, and then they pour poison into it because it, don't forget, these are non-FDA approved drugs for killing, yet this is what they're being used for. They give you the cup, they go, Harrison, here you go, hon. Kill yourself. And then you drink it. And then the longest death we have on report is 137 hours. You convulse, you start throwing up, your lungs burn, your throat burns, it's a corrosion, it's a poison. So naturally, and we know that it is not peaceful, we know it's not empathetic, regardless of what dying with dignity and compassion and choice is like to lie and say to you to try to slow drip you into a manipulation eugenics program. So Canada is expanding, of course, and we're the death leaders. But America, you are following right behind, and I've spoken to the United States State Department, I've tried to talk to RFK, I've tried to talk to anyone, Elon, anyone, please listen, understand, you have expanded already from 10 states into 12 states. You don't have that many more to go. And you have doctors in places like Hawaii where individuals have stated halfway through the procedure, nope, I changed my mind. Please stop. They don't, and they kill you anyway.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah. No going back at that point. Well, it always starts reasonably, right? And I imagine that's the case here in America, is it's yes, you know, in certain cases, in rare instances where somebody is terminal, they're gonna die in a month anyway. It's gonna be a month of pain. Let's give them a dignified, it always starts with that foot in the door, right?
But this is what happened in Canada. So let's break it down. In 2016, the Carter versus Canada case came forward. An individual in British Columbia wanted to die with her doctor. And they stated, well, you know what? We want to be able for you to do that. So they did not make a new law. What they did is they amended the criminal code so doctors could not be charged with murder. Now, let's be very, very clear. That was track one only. Track one was for a natural foreseeable death, a terminally ill only. And then they naturally expanded. But here's the thing. Of course, it's going to be painful if you continuously defund palliative care and hospice facilities like they did in the Delta Hospice where I live. Angelina Ireland was defunded. She was in that hospice as a patient, survived, came out, came back, and was defunded because she refused to do MAID. And we have nurses, we have doctors, I have whistleblowers stating, I refuse to kill people, and they are losing their jobs left, right, and center.
Wow. And I mean, it's like, it's one of these things that's bizarre. We even have to explain why we're against it, right? It's like my first instinct is to go, well, let me explain why this is so wrong. And it's like, do I even have to explain why it's wrong that we're systematically killing people that would not die otherwise? It is so just in your face.
Right.
How horrific and abominable this is. How are they getting away with this?
Well, they're getting away with it because they've slow dripped a society into saying, you know what, Harrison, your grandmother's going to struggle. You, have you ever seen somebody with stage four cancer just deteriorate in front of you? I go, yeah, that's what morphine and fentanyl and palliative care and death doulas and your loved ones around you helping you usher you off to the other side. But that's not what they're doing here. They are now making this the only healthcare option for solutions that can be healed. And Colorado just recently killed a young girl who had what they deemed, which by the way is not a legal medical term, terminal anorexia. They ended her life with this program, and it is a disgusting display of what doctors are supposed to be, which is the Hippocratic Oath. Now, just lastly, this is important for people who love to go down the conspiratorial route. 96% of the Canadians that are utilizing the MAID program are white.
Right. Coincidence, I'm sure.
Totally.
Absolute clear coincidence.
Listen, we brought in 1.2 million people into Canada last year that do not walk like, smile like, talk like anywhere other than India, Pakistan, Iraq, and Afghanistan. But hey, why don't we just give them all of the money, all of the housing, and then say to Canadians like Jolene, the individual from Saskatchewan who just needed a surgery. Yeah, this is the lovely lady. I wrote about her on my Substack. Jane sought to get anorexic treatment in Colorado, and it says she was offered assisted suicide. She ultimately has passed away. Now, the individual Jolene in Saskatchewan, it's kind of been blowing up across the board. The Right to Life UK did a story. I picked it up on my Substack, did a reaction video, put it out everywhere. Glenn Beck picked it up and is now offered to get her a surgeon and to pay for her to get out of Canada to come down to America, all because she needed to see an endocrinologist to do a parathyroid surgery. And that's where we're at, where we have to rely on Americans to save our lives.
Wow, I know, it really is awful. And you know, it's not a coincidence that the systems in Canada are being totally overrun with migrants to the point where they can't afford to continue to operate, and okay, they come out with this so-called solution. If it's cost they're worried about, why are they messing around with all this poison and all this stuff? They could just have, well, a bullet is cheap, right? I mean, they want to make it seem, you know, very sterile and like you're going to the doctor. But right, like when you strip it all away, they're literally just slitting a person's throat.
Right. And so they use two MAID kits. It's on the NIH website. If you type in, and anybody can go look at this themselves because they love to say that I'm disinformation. It's very easy. You just Google NIH MAID kits Canada drugs, and it will show you right there what the kits look like. And my question to you, my friend, is why would they need two kits if the first kit's supposed to work?
Right.
And so Canada is the only country that uses a paralytic because we paralyze you first so you don't convulse, because this is no different than lethal injection in America. And once they paralyze you, they hit you with the next drug. Your lungs go into a pulmonary edemic state. I read this on Jordan Peterson's show. I read the Senate testimony from Dr. Joel Zivit, who he said emphatically to the Senate of Canada, this will cause their lungs to go into a pulmonary edemic state, and they will drown to death. So when you think grandma looks peaceful because they invite the entire family to sit around while it happens, so you're sitting there with the gnawing pain of, this feels wrong. And the doctor's going, this is what we should be doing. When you hear the gargling start to happen, oh, that's their lungs filling up with fluid.
That reminds me of when they would intubate people during COVID, and they would paralyze them.
Absolutely.
And there were stories of people who were like drug addicts, so they were resistant to the, you know, paralytic medicine. And so they would wake up and like tear the thing out and actually survive because of that, where like 97% of the people put on those things died because they were paralyzed and like didn't even know that they were drowning.
Well, yeah, of course, because that's what happens, right? When your lungs go into a pulmonary edemic state, there's not much you can do unless you're in a hospital when they start to suction and start to stop the procedure. Now, Canada has really made its mark on the world with 8% of the deaths in Quebec now being deaths by euthanasia and 5% of all deaths in Canada, 5.1% actually. So like I said, 92 deaths from 2016 up to 2024, and it's rapidly expanding. So last year's numbers were 16,499. The year before that was over 15,000. The year before that was 13,000. And the year before that, when I went on Piers Morgan, was over 10,000 deaths. Here's what's really sinister outside of already the conversation we're having is they are targeting the vulnerable. About a month ago, I spoke at the Senate for the Veteran Suicide Study, and we stated over 20 veterans have been offered euthanasia instead of treatment for PTSD, and the liberals, naturally, Sean Casey himself, spent his time filibustering, calling me a liar. When we have written proof, we have affidavits, we have audio recordings, right? And we actually know of a veteran who utilized the program in September, and I believe her family was paid out over $300,000, because that's what happened. The dead don't talk, the dead don't complain, the dead don't require pensions, and the dead don't make problems for you. And when 96% of them are white, you are realizing you're being replaced, and you're being replaced by the people who are going to continue to vote liberal, who are going to continue to allow this. And now Danielle Smith, who was supposed to be the premier leader of Canada, the safe outside of Pierre, just appointed her head of public health, one of the largest maid killers in the country, as her head of public health.
What is their own internal justification for this?
You know what? I know some of these people who are some of the largest prolific killers in the country, and Dying with Dignity and CanMap, Dr. Stephanie Green and Dr. Ellen Weeb, are at the heart of this. All they do is push death. Ellen Weeb used to do abortions by day. She does maids by night. She came out of retirement just to kill people. On record in the National Post, everything I'm stating here is public information. Nothing is defamatory. You can find it. The National Post, she said right to their face, you know what? I've killed over 400 people and I won't actually say the number. And then when I was at a event, I had another witness to me as well, Alicia, and she said to over a room of 100 people, she's killed over 1,000 people and it's the greatest work. And I quote, the greatest work I will ever do, and I will never, ever stop doing it.
Wow.
She has two criminal charges against her right now, by the way. And one of them was because a family member found us through Jordan Peterson, reached out to the community and said she has akathisia. She was struggling. And what she said is, I want to die because I can't handle the pain anymore. And there are suicide groups that are promoting this. And so she went to Ellen Weeb. Ellen Weeb did a Zoom call with her, never seeing her medical records, never understanding she actually had bipolar cycling too, never understanding that this woman could survive. And she approved her for MAID, and she was put on a plane out to British Columbia after one call. And we were able to get it stopped in the 11th hour through the very first court injunction in British Columbia. That woman has since passed away. But up until that time, we stopped Ellen Weeb from killing her. And she would have brought her to her West Broadway office, put her in her chair that's on the Better Off Dead documentary with Liz Carr. And she would have killed her and smiled while she did it. These doctors are healthcare serial killers. Sean Johnson out of White Rock, who killed my friend's mom, and she was the very first criminal case that has ever been brought forward from this because it was done so wrongly. A friend of mine's mother had a head injury. Okay, very simple. Couldn't see a doctor. And she applied for MAID. Her daughter stepped in. She then slit her wrist a few days after that. And then instead of giving her help and care, they actually MAID-ed her a day, 2 days after that. And when her daughter went to ID the body, the IV right above where she had slit her wrist was still in from where they MAID-ed her.
Oh, wow.
So.
Wow.
And I'm a ball of positivity. Do you see why people want to talk to me?
No.
There's Ellen Weeb right there.
It's brutal. And I want to expand. I think when we go to commercial break and come back in a little bit. So I just want to keep going like this. But you know, I do want to expand out to sort of what is the psychological imperative behind this? Why are they so insistent that we come to accept death as, you know, something to look forward to almost? It's so sick, but it's been a very long time coming, right? And I remember, you know, I love going back and watching like Norm MacDonald compilations, and you'll see things from when he was on SNL in the 1990s, and Dr. Kevorkian was this topic, right? And it was, and like watching it back then, because it's almost been normalized now, but like this idea of there's this guy in a van driving around killing people and nobody can stop him. And it's like, what is going on? How did we not stop it right there? It's so obviously heinous and wrong and satanic and demonic and whatever other word you want to put on it. Mm. But that was just the first step. And it's just been this slow drip of normalization. Here we are 30 years later. And it's the number three cause of death in Quebec.
It's the third leading cause of death in America is the medical errors. And so
medical errors, right.
The medical errors. And then when we talk about that, that's how they cover these things up.
Right.
Right. And so what we're seeing right now, this slow drip mentality, Dying with Dignity started in the 90s. They've been lobbying the Canadian government, the Trudeau Foundation, the lovely Trudeau who's dating Katy Perry. His father had been talking about this for a long time. And that Bill Gates has brought this up as the depopulation way. And it really comes down to the psychology is this. There are healthcare serial killers amongst us. They do it under the guise of compassion and empathy, and it's a self-reporting system. So if no one's checking your work, no one's stopping this from happening, and you're being financially incentivized to wipe out 96% of the white population in a country, and you have all these other doctors bragging about it. How are you supposed, they call her a high priestess. This woman is a murderer.
Yeah, that's kind of telling, isn't it? High priestess of medical assistant dying, Dr. Ellen Wiebe.
Yeah, so here's what happens is she and this organization, Dying with Dignity and CanMap, they legitimately go to every university, every death doula organization, and they send out emails. I'm on their subscription list because naturally I'm curious. And they beg for $30 donations to combat my misinformation because apparently I am the problem. I'm the one that doesn't want to kill people because I used to do that in the military, who actually understands what it is to take a life. And what we're asking our doctors who joined the practice as a Hippocratic oath to do no harm, to help as many as possible, we are turning them into serial killers and not thinking about the psychological effects this is going to have when you take a life. Some people start to enjoy it. And we've had healthcare serial killers and Dr. Christopher Lyon's paper stating they get euphoric moments from it. They even get erotic moments from it. And you don't know what it feels like to kill someone until you've already done it. Mm. And that's what's terrifying here.
It's actually kind of a common thing. You'll, you have nurses who kill, right? You know, they eventually get caught having killed like 50 people because they have access to the drugs
that's
and they
right.
can put an extra drop in the morphine drip. And, you know, they get to feel the power and oopsie daisy, nobody knows any better. I mean, it really is as sick as that. And as you point out, there's a feedback loop in Canada
yes.
where they're bringing in all these people. The services can't handle it. The hospitals can't afford it. So then they're offering MAID. I mean, it's just so as the hospital system collapses, they're offering more MAID, which is just depressing everybody. I mean, it's how do you break this cycle? How do we break this cycle?
So you have to speak up. I cannot be the only one doing this anymore. I have a lot of people backing me. The Euthanasia Prevention Coalition backs me. The pro-life don't want to touch me because they don't appreciate the way I speak about it. But I'm saying that we have to speak differently because we need to wake people up out of the stupor. We have to tell you that killing is wrong. We've always known that. But if we keep talking about it the way that we are, nothing is going to change. You almost have to kick people in the teeth with it, Alex Jones style,
right.
to wake them up from this. So what I have done is I have started a series. I'm the only series in the globe where I report on this three times a week. I write Substacks on this at least twice a week. I've done three this week alone on the new death doctor in Alberta. And you can reach out to your MPs and your senators. The thing about America that scares the hell out of me is no one is willing to hear this. I've reached out to everyone I possibly can. And when the United States State Department and Trump's right hand says, we didn't even know it was happening.
Right.
I'm telling you it's happening and you're expanding and you guys have a chance to stop it. Canada is too far gone, but you guys have a real shot here at not only stopping this, but rolling this back. Because you're just doing terminally ill right now, right? Canada has gone from terminally ill to almost anybody to now the mentally ill, and the AbMed report and the United Nations are all stating, and Dying with Dignity on their own website is bragging that we will expand with the vote. I have to be very clear because it's not in law yet, at mature minors. That's children down to the age of 12. And when the head of the College of Physicians of Quebec has stated in a 2022 report on the National Post that they believe that 0 to 1 should be on the table for Down syndrome and spinal bifida and some of these other issues, we need to be sounding the alarms. So you can do it. But if you do it, I do let people know you will be targeted. You will be followed. They will threaten your benefits. They will threaten your pensions. They will threaten your bank accounts, and they will try to put you in prison for hate speech. And that's where I'm at right now.
Well, and they're writing new laws to make it even harder for you to talk about this. And I want to get into that. I want to get into where you think this goes because, and I want to read this passage from Brave New World because the way they explain it, it makes sense. And it's like, okay, when people are 60, they'll be sort of programmed to accept death. But that doesn't explain why you're going after 12-year-olds like that. This is a whole this is a brave, brave new world, right? This is like beyond even what the dystopian authors of the past could even imagine, where we're getting. So again, if you say, well, we just want people to accept their death, it makes it easier and the economy and whatever, it's like, at least that makes sense in a demonic, demented sort of way. But then you're like, and also 12-year-olds, if they're sad, it's like, no, you just love killing people. You absolute freak. So we'll be back on the other side. Kelsey Sheeran is my guest. It's KelseiSheeran on Substack, Kelsey Burns on X, and we'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's War Room, Infowars.com. Share this link, share this information so we can stop this before we have to even really worry about it here. We don't want to become like Canada. We can stop it now. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We got an awesome collection of new posters about saving the West. There's a very cool one with Alex Jones aiming the gun. These are the perfect Christmas gift for the InfoWarrior in your life, a stocking stuffer. Or get all three. Make them really happy. They're actually incredible. And, of course, they help raise funds for our continuing into the future, no matter what comes next. There's just one of the many very cool posters. Now, you people might not realize this. At InfoWars, we have a yearly quota of Canadian women, and we haven't been doing so well in 2025. So this week, we've had two. We're trying to, you know, make up lost time here. But just, I guess out of a coincidence, our second Canadian lady joining us in studio, Kelsey Sharon. She's a combat veteran, mental performance coach, and independent journalist. She writes exclusively on Substack, extensively, I should say, on Substack about institutional failure, medical overreach, and the real cost of state-sanctioned death. Her Substack can be found at Kelsey Sharon, and she's on X at Kelsey Burns. And I wanted to, I don't know if I have to read this whole thing, but basically from Brave New World, and if people who don't know, Aldous Huxley didn't really make up Brave New World, right? His brother was involved in these eugenics programs in the early 1900s, and Aldous Huxley wrote A Brave New World to basically be the novelization of what they were actually intending to create. So it wasn't something he just made up as, oh, what, wouldn't this be crazy? It was like, okay, if all of their plans come to fruition, this is what the world will look like. And so a major part of Brave New World is this willing death. And this woman's the savage who's the main character. His mother is dying, and he says, but she's only 60. 60, that's not old. The nurse laughed. Old? Why, she's had her full share of life. She's had her soma rations, her youth and beauty and everything. She's been happy all her life. Everybody's happy when they're dying. He stared incredulously. Happy? Of course. We condition them to like it. From the moment they understand death, we teach them to love it. They're so glad when the time comes. They know they've had everything, and then they get plenty of soma. They just go to sleep and never wake up. It's lovely. And huge parts of the book are about, you know, conditioning children to accept and actually love death. And of course, in Brave New World, it's all about this impermanence that they're trying to foster in people and destroy the natural human desire to like have a lineage, and it destroys mother and father. So can you just talk a little bit about how MAID plays into I don't even know how to describe this, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like there's just inhumanness about all of it, that they're really trying to reprogram humans in this totally unnatural way. What is the point of that?
Oh, my friend, they're not trying. They're succeeding.
I know it.
And so they're doing this because, well, naturally, the population is a problem, according to Bill Gates. And this is what we're seeing. Canada's population has boomed over 40 million, 40 million people. Last year alone, we brought in another 1.2 million of non-Canadians. And they're using 96% of the people utilizing the program, which is MAID, which is poisoning by your doctor and being killed by your doctor, are white. So what happens here is we start to tell people early on that, you know, if you have an ailment, you're struggling, don't try, don't go through suffering, because whoever told you your life would be devoid of suffering? Well, dying with dignity, actually, in the children's book they give you before they kill grandma.
Right.
So when you have these people coming into the university systems, for example, and we now know that Canada's university systems are 92% liberal-leaning professors, and you have them go into dying with dignity, to go into the hospitals, to go into the nursing homes, to go into the universities and the death doula programs, and complain about me saying I'm misinformation and disinformation, when all we're doing is reading their websites.
Right.
And they're talking about, hey, look, you know what? Let's slow drip the mentality. Let's just start with the terminally ill. We don't want grandmother to struggle, just like this book here. We don't want grandma to go through anything difficult. So, Kelsey, why would you want that for them? We should give them two IVs. We should give them a paralytic and then the drugs that cause their lungs to go into a pulmonary edemic state and you drown to death, and we make it look peaceful. All this is eugenics rolling out now, because you've had people like Switzerland for a long time with Dignitas making this out to be the most beautiful thing. And then you have people like Apple TV doing the Today Show, doing an entire episode with Reese Witherspoon on Dignitas. The grandmother thinking, you know, I'm going to get old one day, so obviously I should make my plan to Switzerland. You have the Leapfrog CEO of a kids toy company just utilizing the same program. And now you have People magazine bragging about an Auschwitz survivor and husband who survived Nazi Germany and the eugenics program, just utilizing the same program she survived to die with physician-assisted suicide in America. So what they do this for is population control. That's always one. And it's financial savings. Canada, as it rolls out, and like I said in the Western paper, if, because they like to come at me and say, well, it's not for sure because laws are changing. You're right, they are. And in March of 2027, we're expanding to the mentally ill only. Started at track one, grandmother only, terminal ill. Nobody wants to see her suffer. Mm-hmm. Now to track two, non-foreseeable. So veterans with physical injuries, people with a massive physical, notice how I'm saying physical, but the comorbidities can be mental. Right? And one of the largest ones that we're seeing that they're qualifying for is fragility, which is just being old, like you said here before.
There's so many connections that I'm seeing to things like abortion and sterilization. You know, there's the meme where anytime you see sterilization being advertised, it's only white people. It's the only time you ever see advertisements with only white people.
Right.
Or, you know, abortion where they say, well, it can be for any, you know, medical reason, and that includes the mom is sad, right? That includes mental illness. So it's the same type of thing. First they say, well, only for medical reasons. Then you realize that term medical reasons can include mental health, which is really, you know, totally in the eye of the beholder.
So let's be very careful with that, because they love to come at me with my misinformation. Mm. So let's be clear. That starts in March of 2027. So they're not legally, let me say this again, legally, even though we know people they've offered it to who are friends of mine who have audio recordings offering them this program when they ask for help for PTSD, which is a mental illness, right? I was diagnosed with that after my deployment. And so we know they've offered it as early as 2019. I just had a fellow on my show, the Kelsey Sharon Perspective. David talked about him being offered in 2019. Well, that wasn't legal then, friend. Mm. And now we have people being offered as of March of 2027. And here's what's really disturbing. This is not the way, the place they're stopping. The AbMed report has stated this as well. And the United Nations has said, which is crazy because we don't trust them anyway. But for them to come out and say that Track 2 is so dangerous in Canada, it must be repealed immediately. It targets the vulnerable, the disabled, the mentally ill, and this is something that is going to continue to roll out, and they are looking at expanding. It's not on the floor yet, but they've made it very clear on Dying with Dignity's website and CanMap's website and in their own verbiage, because they're dumb enough to add it there, that they are looking at expanding to mature minors, which are children down to the age of 12 with parent consent. What does that sound like to you? Does that not remind you of the trans movement? Mm-hmm. You can cut your breasts off at 12 with parent consent. So how many mentally ill parents are we going to have out there who say, you know what, my child should qualify to die because they're just in distress. They're going through something. They're depressed. But you know what? What if that parent has Munchausen by proxy and doesn't want that kid anymore?
Right.
And they convince them to die.
And what if the kid is getting a 30-minute Zoom call with a doctor who approves them for it? And hell, if a kid can start taking hormones without their parents' awareness, why can't they kill themselves? Well, so it's a whole mountain range of slippery slopes here, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is what's crazy. So Canada says they have safeguards. Let me show you how easy it is to go past the safeguard. You need two doctors or two nurses to approve you, not just one, right? So, okay, we've got the two. That's great. So what if they're all on the same idea that they want to kill someone? What if they both team up and say, I got you, you got me, you approve all my people? Don't pretend that's not happening. But in that report from Western University, when they said, if they stand to save from 2027 to 2047, $1.273 trillion, and they are talking about the expansion into millions of Canadians. Well, they say, well, Kelsey, we don't have the population for that. But they say in their own paper, if it expands, well, honey, it's already on the table in the parliament to expand. So when people say this isn't happening and I am just misinformation, I'm just early. I'm just early sounding the alarm, canary in the coal mine. And now we have to roll it to America.
Right.
Because this is everywhere.
Well, and there's a phenomenon, the term for it I really like, it's called celebration parallax. You can say the same thing, but since you're condemning it, it's bad and it's misinformation.
Of course.
And again, there's all these weird crossovers, all this other stuff, but it, you know, ties into race. And there's been compilations going recently where you know, if you're Stephen Colbert and you're saying white people are being replaced, then you're fine. But if you're Nick Fuentes and you're saying, hey, white people are being replaced, that's bad. It's bad. So you're saying exactly the same thing that the official stories are saying. You just don't like it. So that's why you're bad.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person. I'm a really horrible racist person, even though my partner's black. You know, horrible racist person. That's me. And God forbid I don't want to kill people.
He's racist too.
So. Oh, he's super racist. This baby in here, also racist.
Super.
We're starting off from the get. But here's what I want people to understand. This is not the doctor once in a while bringing this up. We have case after case after case, including the paper you have right in front of you with Jolaine.
Yep.
This lovely, lovely lady I've been in touch with. I saw this on the Right to Life website. I'm great friends with some of the people there. I did a story on Substack like 30 seconds after this. We popped it onto X, popped it onto Instagram. And I said, guys, I need your help. We got to get this woman some help. Glenn Beck picked it up. And now she looks like she's going to be coming to America to with a surgeon to get help. Now, the problem is this woman wasn't dying, honey. This woman had a parathyroid disease and she could not get access to a doctor to even get. All she needed was a referral. She could not get a referral to see a doctor. Most Canadians, the majority of Canadians, do not even have a family doctor.
Right.
Your waiting times in ERs are 12 to 18 hours. We have over half a million people dying on wait lists.
Right.
So, of course, people are going to choose Maze because when you break them economically, you break them with immigrants, you break the nation, and you start flying the Palestinian flag and Sharia law in the country. You start saying if you're white, you're bad. If you start saying you're Christian, you're bad. If you start saying you're Jewish, you're bad. You don't have a right to live. Naturally, when people are so broken and their mentality is there, and then they give you the carrot and say, you know what? You don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to suffer. And you know what? You don't have to do it. You devoid somebody of responsibility by sitting in a chair and just letting them drown you to death on your own.
And that's important. And you brought that up during the break, so we should reiterate that here on air, because I think that's a very important distinction. And, you know, they say they offer this. I mean, it's really pressuring. And I mean, that even just that little like permission from an authority figure has such a powerful, you know, impact on people's mentality. Yeah. There's a famous, I think it was the Ash experiment, right? Where if somebody is wearing a lab coat and instructing somebody else, keep upping the electric shocks. I mean, that person sitting there will kill somebody because an expert's doing it. So when you have an expert saying, actually, this is a great option. And, you know, it's really a lot of people choose it. I mean, that will, you know, be the deciding factor on whether somebody does this. And you were saying the difference between Canada and America is America makes you pick up the poison and drink it.
Correct.
And there's something psychological that's a very much more difficult barrier to get through than lay down, we'll take care of it.
Well, that's where you're at currently. That's how, you know, we all start, right?
Right.
We start with this to see where we can test the society and how far we can push them. COVID was a great example to see how far we could push them. You know, I spoke to Michael Malice about this yesterday. He goes, Canada's already gone, sweetie.
Mm.
I love your positivity, but like, let's just pretend. So here's what they're doing in America. It's called physician-assisted suicide. The difference between Canada and America is this. In the United States, they give you a cup filled with water like this.
Mm-hmm.
They pour the poison into the cup. They mix it up and they go, here you go.
Right. And you have to actually
drink it. You have to actively drink it. Now in Canada, you can go into Ellen Weeb's office or Stephanie Green or Sean Johnson or any of these other, the new head of public health in Alberta. And you just sit down in the chair. They pop two 14 gauge IVs. They have two made kits because one often fails. Often.
Right.
And then they give you a drug. You get a little sleepy. They give you a paralytic. Your lungs go into a pulmonary edemic state. And naturally, they filled with fluid and you drown to death. Now, I'm very clear to state this because people say, well, why the heck are you even involved in this?
Mm.
I'm a combat veteran and I was injured in Afghanistan and I was hyper suicidal for 10 years. I was on 11 different drugs. I was told I would never survive. I would never be a productive part of society. Might as well die. Would have been easier if I died, actually, was the quote from my major.
Right.
Less paperwork. Now, they started offering this to my friends in 2021. I got very upset with that because I know that my voice can help change the world just like anybody else, but they have to be willing to say the hard thing. Now, if I was offered this though, say 2015, 2016, I would have taken it.
Right.
That's how much pain I was in.
Right.
So when you offer this to the homeless, you offer this to the disabled, like my friend Kayla Pollack. She's been on Alex's show as well. She was paralyzed from the COVID vax. She's a quadriplegic.
Right.
You know, she's been offered it frequently. A friend of mine, Roger Foley, London, Ontario Hospital, just has a degenerative disorder, but the government won't help him get in-home care. So he has to live in a hospital. I have audio recordings on my phone where he is offered it almost daily after saying, do not offer it to me. We have other individuals being offered on a regular basis. We have this lovely human who was scheduled to die on January 7th. We have another lady who walked into a hospital. I said this on Trigonometry as well with Francis Foster and Constantine Kissin. In June, she walked into an ER saying, I'm feeling suicidal. The nurse sat down, put her hand on her lap and said, have you thought about MAID?
Right.
Right? So you have cancer patients sitting in gowns at a table about to get put under. And the doctor sat down and said, have you thought about MAID? How in the world? And it's because dying with dignity has infiltrated Health Canada. And Health Canada has infiltrated the Canadian Blood Services and organ donations. And they are now making medical journals and saying, you know what, doctors, 1,800 providers, 300 should be doing all the death, apparently. And so last year, the 16,499 were killed by roughly 300 people.
Oh, they're putting the work in.
Oh, yes, sir, they are.
And again, it really matters the fact that it's offered, that it's pushed, because, one way that you could, to play devil's advocate here and go, well, look, if somebody wants to commit suicide, there's nothing we can do to stop them. So, but if they do it themselves, it's messy. Someone's going to find their body and be traumatized. Like, why have all, and the cops are going to have to come. There's going to be an investigation. that's all messy. We're not actually stopping them from, you know, we're not actually able to stop them if they're going to do it. But like, again, whether it's just picking up that cup or actually, you know, going to the top of a building and jumping out, like, that is such a more difficult barrier to get over. You don't want to then turn around and suddenly make it incredibly convenient to kill yourself and take away, you know, the natural human impulse that stops people from going that
way. But we can do this. We can stop this. Right. I was the very first person in Canadian medical history outside of a clinical trial to have access to regulated psilocybin.
Mm.
I work with plant medicine, okay? I'm a psychedelic integration specialist. I work with professional athletes with this. I work with veterans transitioning, with traumatic brain injury clients. We have seen incredible research with Heroic Hearts Project and Vet Solutions and Ibogaine protocols. I have been a patient who was on 11 different pharmaceutical drugs who started using plant medicine in a safe set and setting with integration and proper individuals. And I have come out of that. I was diagnosed with PTSD, treatment-resistant depression, major depressive disorder, traumatic brain injury, and hearing loss. I was told I was cooked. I was done. And then I was given access because of Americans, by the way. Defenders of Freedom stepped in and paid for me to get brain treatment in Coppell, Texas at Resiliency Brain Health. First female veteran. And because of them, I was able to then start to get healthy with community, with movement, with psychedelic assisted therapy, with proper support networks. We can do this because we understand suicide is an impulse. Yep. We understand nobody actually wants to die. And there are studies looking at suicide, and 90% of the people who have survived an attempt said, I never really wanted to die.
Right.
I just couldn't do this any longer. So what does this say about these predators that walk into the hospital, dying with dignity, walks into hospital rooms when you go to grab coffee while grandma's sitting there by herself and go, have you heard of this? It's painless. It's beautiful. You don't have to worry. And I've been in the rooms, by the way, where Ellen Weeb and Stephanie Green has said to people, you know what? When you pass away, just consider giving us your inheritance.
Whoa.
So that we can keep fighting. And they're funded by the government too. And so is Compassion and Choices in America and Dying with Dignity. And so I've encouraged the United States State Department and, Sebastian, is it Gorky, Trump's dude. And I've said to them in DMs, you guys need to take a look at these nonprofits. You guys have nonprofits lobbying your governments. In Canada, we just had this recently when I did the testimony, when I was testifying against them. Senator Pamela Wallin, who is supposed to have built an entire career on veterans, had a backdoor closed meeting with MPs while I was there to convince them and brought Dying with Dignity in to convince them to continue to expand into the mentally ill.
Mm.
So the people she built her career off of, she's saying now, like, why not die? And here's what's even crazier. I exposed a FOIA document for the first time last week on my Substack where multiple sitting MPs and honorable ministers brought in, are you ready for this? Non-citizen, non-resident, non-taxpayer, presumably from America, and were supposed to mate her illegally. Whoa. And I have the emails that show that they did this and even said, we know this is wrong, but we feel this is the right thing to do in 2021. And guess what? Elizabeth May is still the sitting MP in Parliament in Canada today.
Wow.
And they got away with killing someone.
And again, it just reminds me of something like abortion, where you start off going, well, you know, in certain cases, it's, you know, maybe something bad happened, or maybe the mother, but then you get to the point where it's like, actually, we want 9th month abortion. We want, like, you know, day of the birth abortion. And, you know, clearly that's to do with a lot of evil stuff, not the least of which is the organ harvesting, which I imagine this is tied into as well.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I exposed that about a couple months ago when I was able to tie Health Canada, who's funded by the Canadian government, with the Canadian Blood Services, who takes your organs and tied them with CanMap. And now all of a sudden you're a presumed organ donor.
To be harvested.
Mm-hmm. Because we're doing made by organ donation. So don't talk to me saying I'm crazy. I'm just reading with two eyes. You know, right. So this is actually the FOIA document. Thank you guys for bringing this up. If you guys scroll down a little bit, you will see the actual documents where these MP members, this person, the MSP number, if you're wondering, that's just how you pay for it. Elizabeth May, Adam Olson, and Murray Rankin all went out of their way to make sure that a non-citizen, non-resident, non-taxpayer just was made it in the country instead of being given health, instead of being given support. And this person, they said they know in the actual emails that this is illegal. But we feel it's the right thing to do. So here's what I'm trying to understand. I feel the right thing to do is to make sure everybody knows your names, that you guys are killers.
Right.
And I feel that I shouldn't have to go to prison over hate speech because I'm trying to get you to stop killing 92,000 Canadians. And I feel that I'm in the right place. So I guess I should get away with it, right?
Well, you know, this again, where it all ties in together. If you don't have free speech, you can't argue against this. If
That's
they
right.
get to dictate to you what your morals are, what your beliefs are, what you're allowed to say, what you're not, then you can't stop them when they start implementing this stuff.
Right.
We need the freedom of speech to be able to explain this.
Ben's right there, as you can see, case by case will be reviewed and complete. Sorry, I can't really see that far. Basically, completed by an advocacy group, urgency, and what is felt to be right versus federal law and provincial policy direction.
Wow. Wow.
So this is the thing. They have admitted that you cannot do this legally. Yet all of these sitting government officials utilized their government power to push up against a healthcare system to get a non-citizen, non-taxpayer. By the way, did not have a visa, did not even have a temporary residency card, and had been illegally in the country since 1990, and they admitted it. But now we're going to use our taxpayer dollars to kill you. So this has never been seen before. This was leaked last week. I had an individual contact me. We did a full background check on him to make sure this FOIA was authentic. And we wrote about it. And a few people picked it up, Juno News, True North. And now I'm just waiting for heads to roll. And I'm not sure why Elizabeth May, who's still a sitting MP, parliament member, voting on the bills and voting all these things, who is a known alcoholic, is somehow still allowed to be not in prison.
On email saying, yeah, this is against the law, but we want to.
But,
oh, okay.
But if, hey, Harrison, it feels right.
It feels right.
It feels right.
It feels so right.
Feels
it's like,
right.
It's, feels it really, it's beyond absurd. And of course, this Bill C-9, which
yes.
I know you and Alex got into, that would really prevent you from making a religious argument against this, because this is a spiritual battle that we're fighting here.
Sure is.
And then, of course, just to highlight in like the absolute height of absurdity, I know you mentioned this on Alex's show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if people realize how crazy this is. The residential school thing in Canada.
Yes.
Where they spend millions of dollars scanning all of these residential schools, found absolutely nothing, not a single bone anywhere.
Yep.
And now there's a bill going forward to criminalize residential school denialism.
Yes, so let's bring it up before that's a crime, because I'm definitely going to prison. So they found nothing.
It was nothing.
And I have empathy. Look, and this is not a joke. They came, they took kids from their families, and they removed them. That happened. We know that. Okay, we are clear on that. But to say there are mass graves, and then to start instituting compelled speech.
Yep.
We are standing on the unceded territory. No, we're not. This is what happened. We did treaties back in the 1800s. I wrote an entire paper on it, how the land grab is absolute bullshit. Sorry. And let's be very clear. They are now making compelled speech a part of life. The RCMP during missing children's conference, before they got to the important part, the kids that are missing, they were forced to say, we are sitting on unceded territory of the and this is the thing. Every school speech at the beginning of every morning, every email signature, all the RCMP, everybody, they're forced to say this. And then when you speak up against it, you're full of hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is? This was so the BC Supreme Court just ruled so that they could now make land grab claims. And it's happening in Richmond, Port Coquitlam, Quebec, Ontario, New Brunswick, and Alberta. And now, and this is exactly what's going to happen, we're turning the land over to the indigenous that apparently we stole it from, even though they just did bad treaty deals and were what we call conquered, because
right.
This is how land works. This is what's happening next. This is what I think is going to happen next, at least. We give the land to them. They can't manage it naturally because we've given them nothing. We've put them on reserves where they don't even have clean running water. And we have over 700% trafficking, human trafficking increases in Canada. And a lot of those are Indigenous girls.
Right.
So we don't look into their murders. We just say, oh, they're victims of trafficking.
Right.
But here's what's happening. They're going to end up not being able to manage those land. The government's naturally going to step in and say, you know what? Let us help you out.
Yeah.
So then this is how you go from privately owned to now government owned.
Right.
Because then we let government be daddy and we fix all your problems.
Wow. Canada is in real big trouble. Thank goodness they have people like Kelsey Sharon fighting back for him. Follow her on X at Kelsey Burns. Incredible stuff. Wow.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Welcome to the Jasmine Crockett Senate Campaign Show. Let the mind games begin.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Got 2 words for every racist bigot living Jasmine Crockett.
Crockett, a St. Louis-born private school princess who grew up in the cushy suburbs.
No one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Who embarrassingly cosplays as the hood's angry auntie the minute she smells a camera.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy, because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Her veteran socialist squad mentality immediately ostracizing most Texas voters.
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory.
It's almost like a slave mentality that they have. Now, about the time that that was published last year, around 1 million Latino voters in Texas were voting for Trump. Do they all have slave mentality?
No, and that's not what that said at all.
A strategy of blind delusion in a state where President Trump received 56% of the vote in the last election.
Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now.
It's another day and another disaster by the Democrats. The reality is they have no vision, no policy. They have nothing to sell but hate.
Her routine is that she wants to bring a little bit of what I might quaintly call the ghetto catfight into these spaces. I get it, you know, bring a blaxploitation movie or something into Congress. Great. Work it. But you do not make fun of the fact that somebody lives their life in a wheelchair. That doesn't work.
The campaign itself, the monstrosity, has been on full display for years, where it is now finally crashing out before your very eyes.
Basically, the Republicans have become synonymous for Russians at this point.
When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black.
I was clear that it was A. Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. There has been no oppression for the white man in this country. You tell me which white men were dragged out of their homes.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
We have no perfect systems. We have always had some level of fraud in anything that we have because there's no such thing as perfection walking on this earth.
Unfortunately for her, people aren't buying what she is vigorously selling.
I'm gonna show these white folks I ain't scared of them.
How is it possible that my 10-year-old daughter can hear Jasmine Crockett for the first time, listen to 2 clips, and the first thing she said to me was, Dad, her voice changed.
She is such an insult to all educated black women in America.
she perpetuates the stereotype of a ghetto black hood woman, something she is not.
One of the most famous or infamous, depends on how you see it, women in society today is Jasmine Crockett, elected to office. And look at how she talks. Look at what she's brought. Just hood language for a lady.
So I'm going to say what the American people been wanting to say for a very long time. This party called the Democratic Liberal Party, y'all can kiss the American ass. The whole entire American ass. We're done with you clowns.
Texas doesn't think like a trust fund revolutionary poser. And the only thing more embarrassing than Crockett's circus is the media and the Democrats pretending she's anything other than the fraud she's always been. Then again, this is all the doomed Democrats have going.
I challenge somebody to go and find a clip of a Democrat invoking violence.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with, you okay with punching.
We are not only gonna punch you back, but we are gonna knock you out.
I am here to tell you not only are we gonna punch back, but we about to beat you down.
Just let me tell you that we know how to use a chair, whether we pulling it up, or are we doing something else with it?
Congressman
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Feeling especially Christmassy this Friday afternoon. I do hope you're supporting us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Got a very cool poster right here of Alex aiming his six-shooter. Sorry, say that again. Sorry, the crew just said something. Oh, the posters are from InfoWars Store. Okay, thank you, crew. I didn't know that. Okay, so the posters can be found at InfoWarsStore.com. The classic, the legendary InfoWarsStore.com is where you can get one or all three of the incredible posters, one with Alex with a six-shooter, two with the Crusader King on them. I think they'd make amazing Christmas presents for the InfoWarrior, the patriot in your life. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or TheAlexJonesStore.com to get all the great supplements, 40% off site-wide with the 12 Days of Christmas sale. And these are, of course, fundraisers, and you're helping to keep us on the air and shore up the shortfalls we've had just because of, again, just the endless bankruptcy crap that we've had to deal with that, thank God, has not taken us down because you've supported us. And we really do appreciate your support. It's the only reason we're on the air. And we're feeling especially Christmassy. I wanted the crew to come in. I didn't think of it until too late. But I can't help. Every time I think of silver and gold, I think of Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. A man who loved silver and gold, maybe second only to our guest, Kirk Elliott. Dr. Elliott has been safeguarding clients' assets with precious metals for over 21 years. His firm, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, serves over 18,000 clients all over the world in every state. He has reallocated billions of clients' assets into precious metals. You can find their website at kepm.com/gold, or you can call 720-605-3900. Mr. Elliott, thank you for joining us today.
You bet, Harrison. It's great to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and I know you've got some tips for people, and if people are wondering what's going on in the market, just search silver and go to the Google News tab. Clearly, things are happening here and headlines are exploding about this record high that silver recently hit. Now it's dipped back down. Tell us what's going on in the precious metal world today.
Well, use the dip as a buying opportunity because, yeah, we hit over $64 like yesterday. Today it's like hovering at around 62-ish, probably just a little bit under that. But here's the thing. The fundamentals of the markets didn't change, right? So when the fundamentals don't change, you allocate into it because you know it's going to continue to grow. Mm. So, you know, to go back just a little bit on Thanksgiving, something really weird happened, right? So I was at my in-laws' house, ate too much turkey, took a nap, watched football, like everybody does, right?
Yes.
Little did I know what was happening behind the scenes till the next morning when I woke up. It's like, holy cow, silver went from 54 to 58 when the markets weren't open. Right? It's like, what gives? So I look and it's like, wow, they halted trading at CME at COMEX on copper and silver. Why would they halt trading, right? So Harrison, halting trading isn't a abnormal thing in the markets. So why would they do it? So if you have massive price volatility of more than 10% up or 10% down in a 60-minute period, they can halt trading for a few minutes, right, to just kind of calm things down.
Stopgap measure.
But they halted trading for 10 hours, and they blamed it on a cooling tower, right? It's like the cooling tower in the server room broke, so they had to halt trading. It's like, okay, I'm a business guy. You know, we all understand that if you have the largest exchange in North America, you're going to have a redundant system.
You would hope. So,
yeah, you would hope, and we know that they do, right? So cooling tower breaks down within a minute or so, you turn on the other one, right? And so, you know, so, but that's not what happened. So then there's stories that are starting to surface of a mysterious trade where somebody, an AP, is what they called it, an associated person, made an exchange for physical, like, request to have 400 million ounces of silver delivered by the end of the month.
Whoa.
It's like 400 million. Okay, so put this into perspective. All of the mines globally, all the silver mines globally in 1 year produce about 850 or so million ounces of silver. Whoa. So in one trade, they want maybe half of it delivered. That's impossible, right? So the banks would default on that. So rather than facing a default situation, they scurry and they say, what should we do? This is my interpretation of what happened, right? So it's like, let's just shut it down, right? So, right. So they shut it down. Prices jump up $4 overnight. And the cooling towers is such a lame story, Harrison, because anybody that's like a data nerd out there, and I use that term very lovingly because I'm a nerd too. It's like if you've got tons of transactions happening, tons of computer processes going, yeah, the computers heat up and you need a cooling tower. But the markets were closed. It was Thanksgiving. Banks weren't even open.
Right.
International trading was open. Like China doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. It's an American thing. But that's not why it happened, right? So they made a story. And it shut it down. So then the day after Thanksgiving, silver jumps up to 58. Then it was the weekend. On Monday, it came down to like 57, you know, just probably some profit taking. But from the Monday after Thanksgiving until today, it's literally gone from like 57 to 62 today. It's like, wow. This is amazing growth, right? So what does that tell us? It tells us that there is a lot of oxygen fueling this fire right now. And as an economist, I always look at supply and demand. That's the only thing that really matters.
Right.
When you have low supply and high demand, prices are going to go up. Well, on InfoWars here, you know, Alex and I have been talking for months about how London has run out of silver,
right?
They don't have enough free float silver to fund their transactions. And so because of that, the banks who fund the settlements jacked up the lease rates and the borrowing rates to settle transactions to like 100%. This is normally it's less than 10%. Huh. So what does that mean? For every refinery, every exchange, every dealer that's carrying an inventory at 100% lease rate, it was costing them 15 cents a day per ounce to store silver. for people like my company to actually buy it, they had to have money in storage, right? Or silver in storage. They didn't want to do that. So refineries everywhere are cutting their inventories down to flat so they don't have carrying costs. Well, because of that, there's no silver to go to London. So this is like the catch 22 of all catch 22s. London still doesn't have silver to settle these transactions, and all roads lead to London. So therefore, prices keep going up and up and up and up. And now we're starting to see some other amazing things that have happened. And to me, this is one of the most significant things ever. So I'm going to illustrate this with a story. So back in 2002, I got into this industry in January of 2002. The end of 2001, there was a signal in the markets that happened, right? And silver blew through the comparison. If you were to look at a chart of silver versus like the broad-based stock market index, the SPX, the S&P 500, it blew through that. Well, that signaled the start of a 10-year bull market in silver. So from 2001 to 2011, silver went from the 450 range to $48, a 10x increase.
Wow.
So that signal, because of the price rise on the Friday after Thanksgiving, was breached again, right? And it's not when, you know, Alex and I started doing shows together on InfoWars, you know, silver was in the low 20s. That's not when this bull market and this signal started. The signal started on Friday after Thanksgiving when silver was $58 an ounce. So what does that tell us? We're probably in for a 10-year bull market in silver with the starting point of 58, not $4.50. So the last time the signal was breached, it was a 10x increase. Where does this put silver moving forward? Technically, if history repeats itself, it could put silver in the $500+ range.
Right.
Even if it's half of that goes to 250, we're at $62 today, right? So now this is kind of the foundational backdrop of why silver is so good. Add that to no supply, high demand. You know, the world doesn't operate without silver.
Right.
It's in every electronics. It's in electric vehicles, battery technology, missiles and torpedoes, solar power, you know, everything that we've talked about on your show and Alex's over the couple of years. All of that's intact. The demand is not going down. What's the problem is there's no supply because it's being used, right? So here's where I think there's a bigger issue at hand. It's not like silver is gone. It's in the wrong place. Like China has it. India has it. They're not sending it back to London so London can fix their stupid issue of having over 350 ounces of paper contracts for every 1 ounce of physical delivery of silver. They're over leveraged. So what does this tell us? This tells us that China might want to eliminate London as the precious metals capital and the financial capital of the world. See, they're not going to replenish stockpiles at London. Why would they? When their goal is something different, right? So you've got that backdrop. Now, on Wednesday of this week, something big happened, and that's the Federal Reserve had their meeting, and they lowered interest rates by 25 basis points.
Right.
Right. So what does that mean as additional oxygen to this fire? Well, whenever you lower interest rates, anybody that's on fixed income is going to start making less, right? So what do? They start looking for anything else to replace that lost income. And I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about institutions and everything else. So why not look at silver, which is up 111% year to date? Literally, that trend could slow down, Harrison, by 90%. And you're still at like 11% annual growth, even if it slows down by 90%. That's double the yield that you're getting on U.S. treasuries, right? So it's like, even if it comes down 90%, it's still a much better option. So here's where they lowered interest rates. And CNBC posted a recap of the Federal Reserve meeting. And they said, there's five big takeaways from this. It's like, it's not five big takeaways. There was like two big takeaways, right? Number one, they lowered interest rates. Number two, Jerome Powell basically said, we're going to resume bond buying by the Fed, which they had suspended for a long time. But now that the rest of the world is de-dollarizing, they're no longer buying U.S. treasuries because the U.S. dollar is tanking.
Right.
Right. It's just absolutely tanking. So who's the buyer of last resort for U.S. bonds? It's the Fed. So here, Jerome Powell in his swan song, because he's going to be out, you know, in the spring.
Right.
He puts on his quiet little house slippers and he sneaks over to the printing press and says, I'm going to press the red button and I'm going to print money and we're going to buy bonds. Right. So that started this morning.
Right.
$40 billion bond purchase in one day. Right. So what is that? And you'll hear this term. It's quantitative easing. When you want to stimulate the economy, you lower interest rates and you print money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that's exactly what he's doing. So, or if the government wants to raise money, they either can print money or they can raise taxes, right? You can't raise taxes when people are living at the margin. See, Trump is still dealing with the hangover effect from the Biden economy.
Right.
He can't rest his laurels or that story forever, because at some point he has to own his decisions, right? Mm-hmm. But literally for the first 12 to 18 months, which is the lag effect, it's the action effect on policy. You could make a policy today and you won't see the fruit on that tree for 12 to 18 months. It just takes time. So we're still dealing with the Biden economy for probably the next 6 months. So everything that we're seeing, the wages not keeping up, the unemployment issues, the recession that we're in is still the aftermath of the Biden economy for at least the next 6 months. After that, if Trump doesn't fix things, well, then it's on him.
Mm.
But this isn't on him, right? So what Powell is doing is, I'm going to try to stimulate the economy by running the printing press. This is going to bring inflation, right? So oddly enough, you know, I'm being a little political here, but it's a midterm election year.
Right.
This is why when the president has the White House and the House and the Senate, why in the midterms you usually lose, right. you know, one of the houses of Congress, right? Because if you're dealing with the predecessor's economy for the first 18 months, and that's like almost two years, it's like, yeah, they're going to say, Trump, you stink at growing the economy. It's like, it's not my fault. We're still dealing with the aftermath. This is why the House loses seats, right? So imagine the headwinds that we're going to get moving forward if we lose the House in the midterms and you have an inflationary pressures and we're in a recession. And yesterday, the numbers came out about the housing market. It's the worst it's been since the depths of COVID, right? The housing across the nation has come down 1.7%. It's a negative growth for the year. Wow. Right. So how do you stimulate the housing market? You lower interest rates.
Right.
See, this is where Powell is saying we're stuck. But what he's going to do is create inflation. This is not going to look good for any incumbent, you know, because they're right. going to say prices keep going up. But what he just did is he opened up the floodgates of inflationary pressures. What goes up with inflation? Things do. Bicycles, eggs, gold and silver, yep. oil and gas, they all go up with inflation because they're tangible assets. They right. are things.
So silver and gold have sort of an inverse relationship to the strength of the dollar, right? It's a hedge against the, mm-hmm. the dollar going down.
Yeah. So look at it this way. The more the dollar decreases, it takes more of that declining dollar to buy things.
Right.
So with the dollar tanking, of course, gold and silver are going to go up. It helps maintain your purchasing power, but the dollar hasn't tanked 50%, which is what it would mean if silver's up 100%,
right.
which it is. It's up 111. So what we're seeing now is this paradigm shifting moment globally where the institutions of the past, as we know it, like fiat-based money creation by the Fed, a world that's based on debt, people are starting to see through that. And the systems as we know it are dying. As we start to change into what's the new world going to look like? Is it cryptocurrency right. with stable coins? Is it currencies that are backed by gold, or like in India, backed by gold and silver?
Right.
You know, moving to something different, because once governments lose faith and confidence in the people they've lost, Mm. Well, we're basically there. Once people lose faith and confidence in the banks, they look to alternative assets like cryptocurrency or gold and silver. See, to me, this is a fundamental issue that we're facing globally, that people have lost confidence in everything and they're looking for anything that's real.
Right.
Right. That's the intangible tangible that we're looking at, in addition to no supply, high demand, and prices are just going up. And this is an amazing thing for anybody who's allocated into precious metals over the last year, over the last 2 years, or over the last 3 years. They've doubled their positions based on when they got in, or more.
And the earlier, the sooner you do it, the better off you are. And I mean, it sounds like the whole system is just overburdened to the point of uselessness. You said London is over leveraged by 350 times. Did I get that right? So this is their mistake that we get to take advantage of here.
Yeah. And it's not just London. It's COMEX too. You've got futures contracts that people hedge themselves with. And so if you look at what just happened after Thanksgiving, and the story was, ooh, these big banks, the JP Morgans of the world and the Bank of America's and whoever else, they extinguish their short positions. Cause if you have a short position, you're betting the price is going to go down.
Right.
If the price of silver goes up, you lose your shirt. Mm. Well, over Thanksgiving, silver went from 54 to 58 while the markets weren't even open. They were hemorrhaging money. So rather than facing default, let's just shut the system down. Right. So here's where moving forward, you would think, okay, they extinguished a bunch of their short positions. They did not. They rolled them over instead of the December contract to the March contract. Oh. So here's where silver is moving up so rapidly and so nicely. And people were expecting this short squeeze to happen in December. It's not going to happen until March. But what does this give us? It gives us an opportunity to get in before a short squeeze happens. And this is what's exciting to me, because so many people call me every single day, literally hundreds of people a day call our office. And I'm talking to dozens of them myself. It's like, have I missed the boat? It's like, no, you haven't missed the boat. I think what's yet to come is more than what we've already gained. You only miss the boat if you don't get in the boat, right?
Right.
So I would take advantage of this. Like over the last day, silver came down a couple bucks over the last 48 hours, actually. So it's like, take advantage of that. Take advantage of its temporary.
Yeah, you've missed the first few cars of the train, but the train is still rolling. You still have time to jump on. It's not too late. It hasn't left the station.
Yeah, you'll still get to your destination and with a massive profit, right? But yeah, you can't change the past. And people have this like remorse of, I wish I would have gotten in at $18 and $25 and $35, whatever it was, right? Yeah, hindsight is always better, right? But you haven't missed the boat. Unless you get on and I had this conversation with a client yesterday. It's like, Kirk, it's against the grain for me to get in at an all time high. It's like, why do you think it's at an all time high? Right. It's like people thought that about gold 4 months ago. And what does it keep doing? It keeps going up and up and up and up. So it was an all time high then, but now it's much higher because the fundamentals that caused the growth haven't changed.
Right.
And people ask me this every single day. It's like, how high is it going to go and when? Like, oh, okay, I don't know that answer completely. But what I do know, gold and silver aren't going to peak out until the world changes.
Mm.
I don't see the world changing anytime real soon. I don't see us getting out of the inflationary death spiral that we're in. I don't see us getting out of debt. I don't see the wars and rumors of wars ending anytime soon. I don't see the miners opening up new mines anytime soon to increase the supply, because it takes literally 10 to 18 years from the time you conceptualize a mine opening up until it becomes operational. So this is where this boils down to. We probably do have a 10-year bull market left. Take advantage of this move and take advantage of it now.
Wow. Yeah, so if I'm a young man, I just started working, I finally have money in my bank account for the first time, but it's sitting there and my interest rate is less than inflation, so I'm actually losing money just sitting in a bank. I want to invest it in silver or gold. I go to kepm.com/gold or I call 720-605-3900. What other advice do you have in the last 30 seconds?
I mean, you've got it. So if you have funds sitting in your bank account, you don't trust your bank, or in a brokerage account, it's easy to move it over. Just give us a call. If you have an IRA, roll it, tax-free rollover into an IRA denominated in physical metals. If you have a 401k and you're older than 59 and a half and you're still working there, you can still roll it into a traditional IRA. And I'm not talking about paper versions of gold or silver. It's not an ETF. It's not a certificate. It's physical bars and coins allocated into your retirement accounts. Take advantage of this market safely.
Can't beat that. As somebody who basically distrusts all of finance, I can hold silver. I can hold gold. I understand that. So I'm very happy with it. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much for joining us. Incredible wealth of information. KEPM.com/gold.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night, and they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid, and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going, and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing. To help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, yeah, just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells. Like, it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in, like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system, and it's a really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body, and that includes pumping stomach acid, it includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell. But that also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're just a citizen, and you're still on the list.
This is the latest release from Aya May, friend of the show. It's called Good Citizen. It's an absolutely fantastic track, as all of her stuff is, not just because it is political. It's deeply political. She goes pretty far on this stuff. And, of course, if you've seen her interviews here, you know her mindset is one that aligns with ours and the general desire for human freedom. Her lyrics are incredible. But the music is great, too. That's what we need more of. Right-wing art. Now, I'm going to be joined by Tiffany Cianci in the next hour. So I got this segment, show you as many videos as I possibly can, and I got some doozies for you folks. Let's start off with the Somali crime wave, shall we? Let's start off with fraud upon fraud upon fraud upon fraud. Let's talk about the fraud that's necessary in order to cause all the other fraud. We're going to look at the way the Somalis, who have bilked billions of dollars out of the American people, are getting away with it. Despite being convicted by a jury, they're being let go by, what do you expect, rogue liberal judges who have no justification for dropping these cases. Let's go to clip number four here. More Minnesota judges are dismissing these fraud cases, even though they're getting convictions with juries. Let's watch.
The Minnesota judge who tossed out a jury's guilty verdict in a fraud case is not the only judge in Hennepin County who had problems with the state's case. I broke this story that went national a couple weeks ago. Judge Sarah West acquitted Abdi Fattah Youssef 3 months after a jury found him guilty in a $7.2 million home health care fraud scheme. Since then, I found that another judge, Amber Brennan, dismissed charges against Youssef's wife before it reached trial. And a third judge, Hillary Caligiuri, dismissed charges against another co-defendant. In that case, Caligiuri said the state had very little evidence. Judge West's ruling relies on a review standard for cases that rely heavily on circumstantial evidence with wording that is unique to Minnesota. It says that the evidence has to be inconsistent with any other reasonable hypothesis. I'm following a state Supreme Court decision expected to come back soon that could completely rewrite all of that. It's the conviction of Nick Furcus for the 2010 murder of his wife, Heidi. Whether his conviction is overturned or affirmed, the court opinion will have a huge impact on many cases in the state. I'm Lou Ragusa. Follow for more news.
I really don't even understand the connection there. This murder case is going to the Supreme Court, and they'll decide whether evidence has to be exclusively for one possibility, but if it's consistent with another, how about when you get a conviction for the fraud, it sticks? How about that? Why are the judges letting these people and their spouses out? Because they want to, I guess. I guess that's the law now. The law is, whatever the law book says, unless it conflicts with a random activists in a judge robe, in which case the law just doesn't matter and doesn't count. Now, there's more being discovered about the true scale of the Somali crime wave. Let's go to clip number two here and learn how these Somalis spent their ill-gotten gains, other than sending it to terrorists in Somalia, of course. Here's the other ways.
A honeymoon in the Maldives, a fleet of luxury cars. Here's a box with more than $270,000 in cash. This was all evidence from a new trove of files obtained exclusively by CBS News, showing how a group of convicted Minnesota fraudsters spent taxpayer dollars. One text message reads, "You are going to be the richest 25-year-old.
We're not even at the end of the beginning of our pursuit of the stolen money and of the people who stole it."
U.S. Attorney Daniel Rosen leads the office digging into the wave of COVID-era fraud that hit Minnesota.
So how much money are we talking about stolen from the American taxpayer?
I can say with great comfort, well in excess of $1 billion.
In the past 3 years, 87 defendants have been charged, 61 convicted. The majority of them are Somali American. Minnesota has the nation's largest Somali population. The perpetrators are accused of ripping off state-run programs intended to feed low-income kids house the disabled, and provide services to autistic children.
This was a get-rich scheme.
Andy Luger was the U.S. attorney who first examined this fraud. He left in January.
One of the things we discovered is that a number of the people involved were buying investment property, resort property in Kenya.
Wire transfers reviewed by CBS News also show more than $1 million went to Chinese banks. The Trump administration has said it's investigating whether any of the money fell into the hands of terror groups like Al-Shabaab in Somalia.
And of course, it absolutely did. One of the things was that, anyway, we got a lot to show you. So I'm just going to keep going here because we now have a video from Governor Tim Walz where he, I guess, is defending Somalians. Let's go to clip number three here. Governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz.
Do you want to hear more from members of leaders from the Somali community to say, we need to look at ourselves, we need to hold our own neighbors accountable, because look at the damage that this has done to our community. What do you want to hear more from instead of just saying, don't blame us? Do you want to see more ownership and oversight from within?
Look, it's not law-abiding citizens. If that were the case, there's a lot of white men should be holding a lot of white men accountable for the crimes that they have committed. I think for the community to maybe educate their population, because I think what you're seeing here is there's secondary victims in this, that there's providers inside the community that are then victimizing the community themselves by signing them up, because when we're going to some of these people, they're like, I had no idea I was in this program. So I think it's asking us then, you know, for every crime, which of course the majority being committed by white men, asking us to do more about that. I think it's crime in general. And I think the biggest thing on this is just making sure that we're educating the population. And again, this is 80 people or so that have been convicted in this, maybe some more in that.
Soft bigotry of low expectations. I shouldn't be astonished at this point. It's just there's something so flagrant about it. The question was actually a great question. Should we be expecting more from these Somali leaders? What have we seen from the Somali leaders? Have we seen any of them come out and say, this doesn't represent us, this isn't us, we reject these people? Has the fraud been discovered by the Somali community? Are they the ones that reported it? Are they the ones that exposed it? The fellow Somalis in their own community? Or does Ilhan Omar come out and say, actually, the reason this fraud happened is because there weren't guardrails? It's not the Somali people's fault. It's your fault for letting them screw you over. So the Somali community, in a very obvious way, is providing cover for the people in their own community that commit crimes. Saying, oh, it's not their fault. It's actually the government's fault for not stopping them from doing this. That was Ilhan Omar's response to this. See, maybe this is actually highlighting a key distinction between white people in Minnesota and Somalis in Minnesota. You don't have to tell white people to police ourselves. We're very good at that, actually. There's no barrier to doing that. There's not examples that you can point to of white people covering up for other white people because they're white. That doesn't happen, actually. It does happen in the Somali community. We're not talking about all crime. We're talking about the extensive, coordinated fraud carried out expressly by the Somali community. That's what we're talking about. How do we deal with that? He's like, well, white people commit crimes too. Okay, we'll talk about that later. We're talking about the Somali crime right now. What does the Somali community have to do to stop the crime that's coming out of their own community? Tim Walz says, no obligations. How dare you, white people commit crimes too? Great. You find me a community of white people who are bilking a Somali government out of millions of dollars and covering up for it and sending the money back to America, and we'll talk about that then, Tim. Again, in any other situation with any other group of people, it is so mind-blowingly insane what these people think. It's truly, it just leaves me speechless. I'm trying to imagine. I really am. Just pick any other group of people And I maybe we'll do this, you know, from now on. Anytime anybody brings up any crime from any group, people will be like, well, you know, Somalis committed a bunch of crime in Minnesota. Doesn't matter if it doesn't have anything to do with anything else. Just apparently if something else happens somewhere else, then that means you don't have to care about the thing here. Actually, I think it was, I think it's Atheism is Unstoppable has a turn of phrase for this, where it's like, two wrongs make a who cares. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs make a who cares. Oh, well, sure, the Somali communities stole billions upon billions of dollars and coordinated all of community fashion, but white people also commit crime over there, so I guess we don't care about this one anymore. Yeah, the White House has posted proof that Ilhan Omar married her brother. So add that to the pile of proof that Ilhan Omar married her brother. And again, it's about the endless, relentless, innumerable examples of ungodly amounts of fraud that the American people are subjected to on a, again, continual basis. Let's go to clip number one here. This is one of the craziest videos I've ever seen about fraud in America. The number is unimaginable. The way this was carried out, it almost has to be deliberate that this was allowed to happen. $79 billion of fraud through PPP and COVID. So we'll unpack this on the other side. But here is just one instance of one of the programs of our government being scammed by nearly $80 billion. Let's watch.
For over a decade, I've been exposing egregious Washington waste with my monthly Squeal Awards. Some examples are too outrageous to believe. I'm talking about bureaucrats approving PPP loans for applicants who used pictures of dolls for IDs. Imagine giving Barbie or Ken a taxpayer-funded loan. Not only that, but they also believe folks claiming to be over 115 years old were alive and well enough to be approved for 3,095 PPP and EIDL loans worth $333 million, including $36,000 to a 157-year-old. That's pure hogwash. But this is only the tip of the iceberg. Instead of boosting Main Street, millions of your tax dollars were wasted through USAID to fund Iraqi Sesame Street. And this one is unacceptable. Improper payments or the government tossing cash into the wrong trough have become commonplace. In fiscal year 2024, federal agencies shoveled out $162 billion in improper payments. The most frustrating part is how simple it is to stop this waste. A report by the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee found that $79 billion in potential COVID fraud could have been prevented if four basic questions were asked. One, is the applicant's Social Security number valid? Two, if valid, does the name connected to that number match the name on the application? Three, does the birthday match? And lastly, is the individual alive? Seriously, folks, that could have saved $79 billion right there. The good news is that we can prevent nearly all improper payments in the future with my DOGE in Spending Act that enacts common sense guardrails like those four simple questions.
Four simple questions. It was literally easier to bilk the American government out of millions of dollars than it is to sign up for a free Gmail account. Go try to sign up for a Gmail account and say you're 157 years old. It won't let you. They'll say, no, you're too old. That doesn't count. That's not your real age. Somehow they figured it out. But when our government is given the authority to hand out hundreds of billions of dollars, they can't manage the same level of sophistication as a free email server. And it really makes it obvious how absurd the entire government is, like the whole thing. Because you know what they would say, right? If you go, what the hell? How was this such an inadequate vetting system? Like, what? And it's like, well, we don't have any money. You know, and we don't have the money to hire the people to do things right. But we do have the money to hand out $80 billion to people that don't deserve it. Like, you understand, if you spent $77 billion on the program, and all, so you spent $77 billion to make sure that it was secure, that's still a profitable enterprise. You would still save $1 billion. This is the absurdity. It's like, we can't afford to pay Google engineers to just make a form that you can't commit fraud through. Again, I just don't understand it. We have Social Security numbers. We have this sophisticated system. We have hundreds of billions of dollars to spare, and we can't make a system that's difficult to defraud. Probably because we're pinching pennies. Like, as we were experiencing cuts in that regard. It's like, well, we'll put $1 million over here, and then that'll be used to create the system that will dispense $100 billion. Anybody else see where this inconsistency is? How about you spend $77 billion building the system perfectly secure? That way you prevent $78 billion being stolen from you. You actually come out on top. If our government invested as much money as they could ever possibly need in creating these systems, we would still be saving money, because then at least they would be secure. The whole thing is absurd. Pictures of dolls, pictures of Barbie dolls, were used as ID photos. They weren't even trying. They weren't even trying. It'd be harder to scam somebody you're buying a bike off Craigslist, right? Literally, it's just like unbelievable. Now, they say $162 billion in fraud. I'm not even going to try to imagine that number. It's too much, too big. So let's just take that $79 billion. $79 billion that were stolen by people who were either using fake Social Security numbers, somebody else's Social Security number, a picture of a doll instead of their own face, just these, the four things that she mentioned, just confirm their age, confirm they're alive, confirm they have the right Social Security number. If they did those things, they'd save $79 billion. What could we afford with $79 billion? I asked Grok, and he broke it down for me. For $79 billion, we could afford 15 new major stadiums, plus 28 world-class hospitals, plus 100 state-of-the-art K-12 schools, plus two public universities in their entirety. Staffing, the land, the campus, everything. Everything, everything, everything. Now, every time I say this, I have to admit, it makes me angry. Idiots will respond and say, oh, that's what we need, more stadiums for more football. And it's like, do you not understand what I'm saying here? The point is, what did we get for this? We spent this money. We didn't get stadiums. We didn't get hospitals. We didn't get high-speed rail. We didn't get a space program. What did we get for $80 billion? Nothing. As far as I can tell, we got nothing. What happens when you build a $1 billion stadium? You create $1 billion worth of jobs. You actually create a continual job generation machine, because you can have shows and you can have rodeos and you can have sports games and you can have events and you can have concerts, and every one of these can bring in people from out of town to flood your city with money. 15 new states. Imagine 15 cities with a brand new state-of-the-art stadium. We could have had that if we'd bothered to make sure the right boxes were checked on the intake form. We could have had that. We could have had 100 K-12 schools, two brand new state-of-the-art campuses for every single state in the union. I think that would be kind of useful. I think that would actually help America quite a bit. Again, the construction alone creates jobs. The teachers, the lessening of the pressure of the schools. I mean, the point is, It's unfathomable how much money has been robbed from the American people over and over and over. And you have to imagine what the world would be like if we got to spend it on us. What would America look like if American people actually benefited from the unbelievable prosperity that we create? What would it look like? But I gotta dodge hostile, drugged out homeless people on my walk home. I gotta try to get out of the city so I don't have to send my kid to the death trap of public school in Austin. Like, our lives aren't even good, like, let alone, you know, magnificent. And yet we let $80 billion slip through our fingers by just scam artists realizing how unbelievably insecure the whole thing was. And then they just forgive the debt. The vast majority of the PPE, whatever debt, they just wrote it off, even though it was all fraudulent. I guess they knew they were never getting it back. I guess they never intended to get it back. It seems like the whole thing actually was entirely a scam from the beginning, from before the beginning, from the point when they released the COVID virus from the lab in Wuhan, China, to the point that they stopped any mitigation measures until it could seed itself fully into America. Only then did they institute any sort of policy, and the only policy they would permit was a 2-week lockdown that they always knew was just the foot in the door they needed for a lockdown to extend until Election Day and beyond. So then the economy crashes. So then they have to do the PPE loans. Then they don't secure them and they start handing out the money to everybody, and then they forgive the money. And so the whole thing from the bottom, from the top to the bottom, is scam upon scam upon scam. None of it needed to happen. All of it was a direct consequence of the deliberate decisions of the people in charge. It's not like they didn't know the economy was going to crash if they shut everybody down. Somehow we knew. Somehow InfoWars knew what the consequence was going to be. Somehow we knew kicking kids out of school was going to hamper their development. Somehow we knew that shutting down the economy would require this massive injection of cash that would only inflate the dollar and rob us in a million different ways as well. I mean, the whole thing is insane. Again, okay, you don't want a stadium? Fine. Would you like a hospital? Would you like a hospital? 28 world-class hospitals. And I mean world-class. I mean like the finest of the finest hospitals. You don't want that? Hell, don't buy the stadiums. How about we get 100 hospitals instead? How about 2 brand new, state-of-the-art, fully functional, fully staffed hospitals in every single state? Instead, what did we get? We got robbed. We got a million people in our country stealing billions of dollars and spending it on God knows what luxury items, snack food, like who knows? It just pilfered away into dust, into the air. No benefit to the American people whatsoever. And that is just one of 10 billion scams like that, robbing us blind continuously forever with no end in sight. Maybe I'll play another video in the first 5 here. I got more crazy videos that will just blow your mind. So stay with us. I do want you to go to the alexjonesstore.com if you can. Go to infowarsstore.com if you want to get some of these new posters. We got Christmas gifts for everybody on your wish list at infowarsstore.com and thealexjonesstore.com. And also, I keep saying it, New Year's is coming up. You're going to want to hit the ground running with your New Year's resolutions. And I always find, I actually do this every year. I try in a vain attempt to better myself on New Year's. And I like sort of organizing it around supplements. Going, okay, I'm going to wake up early, so I'm going to need a little pick-me-up in the morning. You know, I'll get some Shilajit gummies, some Irish sea moss. Okay, but I'm going to want to go to sleep at night. I'm going to need something to put me out. I might go for Knockout, which I believe is back in stock, a new formulation from Rex Jones. I saw him posting about that. Whatever you want to do, however you're going to try to better yourself, or even if you're perfect, go to thealexjonesstore.com today. Do your shopping before it's too late. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Well, folks, you know we don't do the infighting. You know we would rather the right wing be unified in our effort to save the world from the clutches of the mad scientist known as the New World Order. And I got very huge respect for what Tim Pool has been able to accomplish. It's very impressive. He's got a very solid track record. And the man knows how to put out a show. And his crew's great. Everybody I've ever met there has been fantastic. But he also was inexplicably a total jackass to me last time I was on there, so I don't actually feel that bad. And he's made some very terrible choices in the last year. I'm going to go to a video of him complaining about that. But I also want to explain briefly why his views have cratered over the last year and why he's basically saying that unless he raises money in 2 weeks, they're going to have to shut down the show. Now, he got screwed over with the claims about him being a Russian asset. I think that was utterly fraudulent. I think that was totally unfair. However, it did expose how he makes his money, at least one of the methods by which he makes his money, being sponsored by, frankly, kind of shady media outlets to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars a show. On top of that, he's got, sign-up things. You can sign up to be a member of his thing or whatever. But he's not doing too well. He's sort of crashing out, and he's threatening to quit. I want to go to this video here and then call him names. Let's go to Tim Pool claiming that unless you give him money, he's not going to do the show anymore. Let's watch.
Partners. And one thing is clear. The violence will get worse. It is going to escalate. We cannot keep going as status quo. Something has to change. It may be that as we described after the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the threat to come and shoot up our studio and our workplace, we asked, at what point do we say, we can't do this anymore? The cost of running Timcast IRL studio and the projects around it exceeds the amount of money it brings in. That's just that breaking point, isn't it, for any business? If you need $100 to, run your restaurant, but you're only bringing 90, you go out of business. The issue? The cost isn't cameras or lights. The cost is security because of the escalation.
Okay, all right. We can take it down. Tim, you're a pussy. Sorry, that's what it is. That's what it is. Everybody here at InfoWars has been subject not just to threats, but to, in many cases, physical violence, swatting, all sorts of insane stuff. I feel for him in one regard. We have to spend the same amount on security. But there's just something about the, okay, we just have to stop. Maybe I'll just give up. It's like, well, last time I checked in, you were building out a van because you were going to go traverse the Civil War battlefield as America descends into chaos. Like, but now you're too scared to keep doing your show on your compound. I don't get it. Now, I understand he talks about he works a lot. He's like, I don't want to go on a break. I never go on breaks, whatever else. If there's one thing I can say about the Tim Pool compound, having been there, it was very fun. It was very cool. It was very laid back. There was not a lot of work going on. There were a lot of people sitting around, hanging out, skating, right? I think Tim himself was skating for like an hour and a half when I was there. Now, things may have changed. It's been a while since I was there. Maybe he's working a lot harder now. I just have trouble taking this seriously. When at InfoWars, it is a hive of activity. Nobody is sitting around at InfoWars. Nobody is playing video games or shuffleboard or hanging out with the chickens in the backyard at InfoWars. So I have a little bit of a hard time believing that they're, you know, working their fingers to the bone and it's just, they're just not making it work. Now, they have memberships, they have sponsorships, they have all this stuff. It's hard for everybody. And really, I'm not even trying to put down Tim Pool. I am trying to uplift Alex Jones and InfoWars and let you know that not everybody can handle the atmosphere that we've been in and on top of and the number one target of for the last 30 years. And we continue to dominate and continue to have success while all of our competitors continue to struggle and fail because we were the first, we were dead on the money, and we have the AlexJonesStore.com. And as long as you go shop there, there's nothing anybody can do to shut us down, and we'll never shut ourselves down like Tim.
My fellow InfoWarriors, you have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025 at midnight to get 40% off site-wide. That means all the incredible supplements, methylene red, back in stock, bovine colostrum, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, ultimate life force spike protein detox. It's all in stock right now, and it funds the tip of the spear. These are incredible products. Do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Enrich your health, your vitality, your life. They make great gifts, and it gives the gift to all of us of keeping this operation on the air in the face of the globalists. And 40% off is a huge deal with the t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies, the sweaters, all the apparel, because there's only about 60% markup in the apparel. So that is one hell of a deal. Please do your Christmas shopping right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. Thank you for being the heart of this operation. Thank you for your support. You have till this Sunday, site-wide, 40% off.
Vaccine is on its way.
Oh, really?
That's right. And it's a brand new mRNA vaccine. So
mRNA, that's never been done before, right?
Oh, no, it's been done before. It just never made it out of the testing phase because all of the animals kept dying. But it'll be different this time.
How so?
Well, we're not going to do the animal testing. So
you're just going to go straight to testing on humans?
Yeah, you could say that.
I mean, even so, don't most vaccines take years to develop and decades to test?
It's here. The vaccine is here.
Already?
That's right, it's here and it's 100% effective. No transmission, no infection, and you don't have to wear a mask or stay locked down anymore.
Wow, really?
Yep, I mean, except for the things about the mask and lockdown, yep.
Okay, but it's 100% effective?
That's right, 90% effective. And frankly, 85% effectiveness is really incredible.
Oh, so it's only like 85% effective?
Not quite, it's more like 75%, but hey, 65% still very good. I mean, they said we'd never even get to 50% effectiveness, and we did, almost. So 40%, really great achievement.
So it's only like 40% effective now?
For a bit.
A bit?
I mean, it wears off, so.
Well, after how long?
Like 4 to 6.
4 to 6 what?
Booster shots a year.
Okay, so it really only works like right after you get the shot.
Well, not right after, because we don't even consider you vaccinated until 2 weeks after your second shot, so.
Okay, so it takes like a month for the shots to work, but it wears off, and even then it only gives you mild protection, but you have to get boosters that also wear off. You still have to wear a mask, you can still get COVID, and you still have to stay home, and there are rare but serious side effects, and all of this over a virus that has a survival rate of over 99.5%.
Whoa, I never said anything about serious side effects.
Are there, though?
Certainly none I've ever discussed.
Yeah, but have there been reports of serious side effects?
No, I mean, except for like AIDS or whatever.
Did you say AIDS?
Yeah, basically you like get AIDS and then there's this heart thing where your heart explodes and sometimes half your face falls asleep forever and almost everybody gets extreme nausea and pain at the site of the injection. Sometimes they just die right there at the injection site, but we're not sure that's caused by the vaccine, so we will not be looking into it.
I cannot believe that pharmaceutical companies would actually release this to the American people.
Oh no, it's totally fine. They're completely indemnified against any wrongdoing, so they'll be fine.
Right. Look, a vaccine is literally the only plan I have, so it's happening. It's coming out, and everybody's taking it. Even if it's risky, even if you have natural antibodies, even if it doesn't stop transmission, you are taking it.
Wait, but you said it did stop transmission.
Oh, did I? Oopsie.
No, I don't think I'll be getting that shot now.
Well, what if I offer you some tasty French fries?
No.
Okay, well, what if I throw in a single glazed donut?
No.
You drive a hard bargain. Well, what if I give you a chance to win $1 million?
I mean, I feel like you're just trying to exploit my desperation at this point. I mean, look, this is about bodily autonomy.
No, that doesn't exist. We checked.
Checked with who?
Well, the experts, obviously. Tell you what if I tempt you with not losing your job?
Oh, so it's going to be mandatory.
Oh, nobody's mandating anything. It's entirely up to you whether you take the shot or whether you lose your job and become a despised pariah unworthy of basic decency or life-saving organ transplants.
Yeah, I feel like you're forcing me to get this shot.
Nobody is forcing you. Just take the jab.
I'm not going to take the vaccine.
Just take the jab.
I feel like I'm being forced here.
Take the jab.
No. You know what? I don't deserve this. I have a right to my own body. Maybe I'll go protest.
A protest? Yeah, that's fun. Say, do you like having a bank account?
What?
I'm just asking. Do you like having access to the money in your bank account?
What are you saying?
All I'm saying is there's no reason for you to be scared of a little needle.
Nothing to do with it.
It's the only way to stop this pandemic.
But you said it doesn't stop transmission.
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense.
God, some people are so stupid. You're not trusting the science hard enough. Look, it's not me telling you to take the jab. It's actually your sister Sarah.
What?
Yeah, your sister Sarah is requiring a vaccine to go to her wedding. So she works for me now.
Oh, God, I mean, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime event. All right, I guess I'll get the vaccine.
Wow, what a coincidence. Where are the children?
All right, folks, welcome back. That, of course, is a skit that I originally filmed. It must have been at least 3 years ago. I think it was more like 4 years ago. I just thought I'd play that for the one joke sort of right in the middle there. Where I point out that it can make your heart explode. Because apparently yesterday, scientists figured out that, yes, the COVID vaccine will make your heart explode. But somehow InfoWars knew that was the case 3 years ago. That should inspire questions within you, folks. With that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest. Of course, the one and only Tiffany Cianci, the bubbly little fairy of doom. She's an activist raising awareness about the critical threat that private equity poses to American society. She's raising the alarm and putting pressure on private equity firms that are covertly monopolizing entire industries by using hostile takeovers in kangaroo courts. That's really just scratching the surface. You can learn more at The Vino Mom on X or by going to TiffanyCianci.com. And, of course, she's on TikTok as well. Tiffany, welcome back once again.
I think you're my favorite place to come hang out. I love it here.
Oh, we love having you. And I've noticed that my very complimentary label of you has been catching on. People are now, lots of people are calling you the bubbly little fairy of doom.
I don't think I could shake it if I wanted to. My comment section is filled with little like bomb emojis and fairy emojis everywhere. And it's so funny to me because
I love
I've had lots of nicknames. I've had like private equity warrior. I've had like mom fighter. I've had like small business like warrior. I've had so many things people have said and nothing has ever caught on. Like that.
Bubbly little fairy of doom. Well, you're such a cheerful and happy person, but you come bearing this news and it's not your fault. It's just, this is what the world is like. Actually, I'm working on a compilation of videos for the year 2025 and I showed a preview to my wife and she watches it and she goes, there's a lot of explosions in that. I'm like, yeah, put any happy stuff in there? I'm like, sorry, I'm just, it's what happened this year.
I don't make the rules. It was I don't make the laws. I don't make the wars.
I wish we could come in and say, we're knocking down private equity here. We're putting a stop to them here, but it's just not happening. What is the latest? What do you have? You do have some good news for us, you said.
I do. I brought some good stuff right now, or at least some like actionable stuff right now that that may have good news on the horizon.
That's what we need. So, well, let's save that for dessert. Okay, let's start with the horror. Okay.
Okay.
And I hate to start off with this.
We're going to start off with this.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that gives the whole hour that we can try to help. So that's good.
Exactly. That's good. And I of course thought of you as soon as I saw this headline. It is a absolute tragedy. Girl, 6 years old, dies from injuries after go-karting accident at a Florida trampoline adventure park. And why would this make me think of you? Because
this is actually the company. This theme park is owned by the company I've been fighting in court for the last 4 years. And a lot of people think that, like, they're fighting me because I was the president of our union. That might be where it started. But in reality, the fighting kept happening because after I was on the cover of the New York Times, all of these other victims of their lawfare had started sneaking me court documents from their cases that were sealed. And in one of those sets of documents, I received documents that said that their CEO was overriding their safety team and that that the things he was recommending could lead to children falling off their zip lines and that the safety team was overridden. And just a few weeks later, kids started falling off zip lines at their parks. Now, when you pair private equity with nursing homes, when you pair private equity, not all private equity, pirate-like private equity, we talked about this, like pirate equity, evil equity, whatever. When you pair that with things that involve care of human beings, whether it's an emergency room or a nursing home or a veterinary clinic or a child care center or an adventure park, and your goal is to make money at all costs, to reduce EBITDA at all costs, right? If your goal is that saving $10,000 a year, according to the document I was sent, was worth risking children falling off of zip lines, which is what that document said between their lawyers, then you don't mix private equity with things that put people's lives at risk,
right?
Okay, because if your goal is money at any cost, people are going to die. And what's happened is because I got those documents, I've been subpoenaed to testify in cases where these children fell off these zip lines. And I have the only documents that show that these things were going on in the background.
That they knew there was a risk and that they took the risk knowingly.
And so when you really look at what they're doing to me, in my opinion, it's just witness intimidation. They want me to stop testifying for these children. Well, this little girl, like, we've seen dozens of kids fall, paraplegics, quadriplegics. We've got children with severe traumatic brain injuries, one child that's going blind right now from her injuries, a boy that was scalped,
oh my God,
a woman that was almost internally decapitated. We have a woman that was strangled, a child that was strangled that was 6 years old in Georgia. We have a 14-year-old girl whose harness was not clipped in, and she jumped off like a 20-foot rock fall and broke like every bone in her lower bodies. So, right, and so now, finally, we have a child that is the most beautiful 6-year-old little girl. I hate to say curly red hair, the most beautiful curly red hair. Her name was Emma, and she went to her big sister's birthday at Urban Air in Florida, and she left in a helicopter and died shortly thereafter. Now, this little girl was riding a go-kart, and she was six. Okay, she was on a go-kart. Now, early reporting suggested she was riding with her dad. All of that was removed, and now it said her dad was at the place with her. So all of the reporting is suggesting she was driving that go-kart. And if you look at this company's websites, they have no minimum age requirements for their go-karts, and they brag that they go up to 25 miles an hour on a multi-level track. Watching the video of this, I would be intimidated to drive anything on this track. I can't even imagine. But if a place doesn't have a minimum age requirement, as a parent, you're going to assume they know it's safe.
Right.
Now, there's the first reporting that came out said this had triggered state, local, and federal investigations. We already know the FTC is investigating this company. But this little girl lost her life. She's never coming home. Her family will never be whole again. Her big sister will always equate this with her birthday. What about the teenagers working that ride?
Right.
What happened to them? What happened to all the children at this birthday that watched their classmate, their friend perish? You know, the park has been closed for days. I can only imagine what the crime scene must have, or the investigation scene. I don't want to say crime. I don't know that. The investigation scene must have looked like.
Right.
And if you look at their website, it says Height requirements will vary by location. Check with your local location. No minimum age requirements to drive. And then they brag about the intensity of this ride. A six-year-old was driving a vehicle that could go 25 miles an hour on a track with other people driving vehicles that go 25 miles an hour.
Right. And, you know, something being dangerous, it doesn't mean inherent. Like, I want to – this is almost hard to express, but it's like we're not saying, like, oh, go-karts are too dangerous. We should needs to be covered in padding. But it's like, okay – if you don't want the government doing it, if you don't want the government coming in and saying you must do this and you must do that and we can't have go-karts past 15 miles an hour, you can't, then there are like market forces that should ensure that the company, if they want to continue to exist as a company, is going to do everything they can to make a ride safe. It's when you come in with cost-cutting measures and you start cutting corners in that regard because you're trying to make money for your private equity investor, this is what ends up happening. So it's this total perversion of what, as you were talking about, you know, in the very beginning, if you're taking care of people, that has to be a primary concern, not the profit. You can get profit while you take care of people, but that can't be the primary thing.
As somebody that I believe has been largely libertarian for a very long time, right? You and I have talked a lot about arbitration.
Right.
When this family signed in for that birthday, they signed an arbitration agreement at the front desk if they signed in the normal way. All right. Now, how much do you think this family might have reconsidered having their daughter's birthday there if they had known that there were all these other kids that had fallen off these zip lines?
Right.
How many parents in the United States would reevaluate having your birthday party at an indoor adventure park where child after child after child after child had fallen off zip lines, had been receiving severe traumatic brain injuries, had broken every bone in their lower body, ruptured spleens, ruptured lungs, right? Blindness, scalping, right? A mom strangled, a child strangled. How many parents would reevaluate it? But because of this secret court system that these private equity firms employ, embrace lots of large corporations too, these private equity firms use them to cover up bad conduct. If this had been the 90s, every politician in the state would be out there picketing with parents demanding a change. But because we have so bastardized our legal system in favor of corporations, we have a kangaroo court system that is fully confidential. And 97% of the time at this monopoly-run court system that is paid for entirely by corporations, 97% of the time the family loses.
Right.
This family has a 3% chance of winning if they bring a case. 3%.
And that's something that we want to let them know, right? If anybody listening to our voice has any way of contacting this family or getting in contact with them, Tiffany's got some very useful information for them. How should they reach out to you?
I check all of my messages online. My email is available at my link tree. You guys can reach me. But, you know, if this family or their lawyer needs documents to show the history of these injuries, I have made them available to anybody that's injured in the United States at these parks. Because if you're going to use a secret court system to hide your bad conduct, the free market cannot respond.
Right.
And if the free market cannot respond, that only encourages more of the bad behavior. And again, there's still an investigation ongoing here, but might this family never have walked in those doors?
Right.
Might they not have? And I want to say that there's a clear example, because as soon as this came out in the press, one of my children's friends' parents called me and said, we were having our birthday party there. Can we move it? Do you have any recommendations for where we can go? We don't want to take our kids there.
Exactly.
Because they saw it.
Right.
Because there was a death. It was covered. And it shouldn't take that. It shouldn't have taken this gorgeous, beautiful little girl for people to have that knowledge, because there's been knowledge going back to 2018 of these horrifying injuries.
Well, and this is the thing. The first time you came on the show, this is exactly what you were talking about. And I think we have the video. I think, was this back in, when did you make this video?
This was about a year ago. I was on the Sean Mike Kelly podcast, and we had 30 plus million views on this video.
And it needs 130 million.
It does.
Because we were talking about this the first time you were in, and it was like, I remember you saying, like, it's only a matter of time before one, you know, there's a death, and
yes,
it's because they're allowed to get away. It's because the free market is not allowed to operate.
Yes.
The free market would shut these places down, or would force them to, on their own volition, go over and above with safety. Because they can hide their results, because they have these arbitration agreements, they get away with all of it, and it's only led to more. So, do we know if this was a private equity owned
This is the company I'm fighting.
Oh, it's the same one. That's right. That's right.
This
you said that.
This is the same company. They're owned by Seidler Private Equity. This is a private equity firm that owns the Padres and specializes in family brands. Mm. They own Upa Baby Strollers. They own Aiden and Aeneas cotton organic Muslim baby swaddles, right? They own Frida, the baby healthcare company.
Oh, wow.
They own sports brands like Rawlings. Mm. Okay. They are a family aligned, like, private equity firm, and they probably thought when they acquired Unleashed Brands, they were going to have all this amazing, like, cross-promotional appeal. I don't think
vertical integration.
I doubt very much Unleashed Brands actually told them about all these court cases.
Right.
I doubt very much that they knew that hundreds of their franchisees were suing them for RICO violations. Right. I doubt very much they knew about my case. But if even if they did know, they went into this and this is the brand they got. And this private equity firm, if they care about these other brands and they care about these families and they care about these kids and they really are the family brand they claim, then something has to change.
It really does. And I got to be honest. I saw a video from, I hate to say it, Pocahontas herself. Elizabeth Warren is actually standing up against this.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, okay, I don't even trust her motivation necessarily. I just don't like her as a person. But it's like, can we not come together on this? Is this not something that, like, everybody should be against this? Yeah. Literally everybody. If you love the free market, these people are destroying the free market.
Yes.
If you hate corporations, these are the corporations you should hate. Like, it doesn't matter how you're approaching this. This really should be something that we should be able to cross the aisle on. Well, let's go to this video. Trampoline parks hiding deaths. This is from a year ago. Tiffany Cianci.
When you go to a trampoline park for a birthday party, you sign your kid in at the front, right?
Yeah.
You do the iPad. You don't realize there's 90 pages of legal documents under that. And they included a forced arbitration clause where they can include a non-disparagement agreement or an NDA and a confidentiality agreement. So if kids are falling off trampoline parks all across the United States, one, they're not allowed to go public because they can get sued. Two, they are forced into a secret arbitration, so there's no court documents anyone can find. Well, during my case, a whistleblower came to me and he said, hey, I want you to know we fought to try to save you, but we failed. And he sent me all of these documents that were from a second legal case that had been sealed. Whoa. And they'd spent millions of dollars to seal it so no one see the documents from it. In those documents, there was a letter that said that the safety company for Urban Air franchises had gone to the CEO and said, you cannot pull the harness checkers on these zip lines because kids will get injured. They will die. And the CEO or their team at the CEO headquarters overruled them. And just weeks later, Mia fell. But it was happening in trampoline parks all over the United States.
So this is by no means the first instance of this happening, but it's like how, you know, clearly you were right. And clearly,
I did not want to be right on this one.
Right.
You know, for anybody who's watching, I don't fourth wall break very often. I don't ask people for things. Like, I've had legal GoFundMes. I've never talked about them. Mia's family has a GoFundMe. Emma's family. Mia was the other girl in that video. Emma's family has a GoFundMe. The name I think is Emma Riddle. And I really, like, I'm hoping that, I'm sure they can find the link and we can put it up here, but their family is going to need money for a lot of things coming up. They're going to need burial expenses. They're going to need recovery time. They're going to need help for their daughter. They're going to need probably grief counseling. They're going to need trauma counseling for everyone that saw it. And they're going to need help if they find themselves in court. They're going to need help because going to arbitration costs a fortune. My judge was $25,000 plus a week, and mine took over a year. No regular family can afford this fight, okay? So she's going to need all the help she can get. I am begging you guys to go give help, please. If you guys can go help Emma's family, please go help Emma's family.
I completely agree here. The GoFundMe is up, and we'll get the URL during the break here because we can't see it on our screen. But I mean, if I was the private equity, I would not be fine. I'd be giving them the biggest payout I could because this looks so bad for them. I mean, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to fight it if these people try to sue? Do you think they're actually going to?
I can say this. The cases that I'm either assisting with or being subpoenaed in right now, they have fought with everything they have, and these children have lost every normal facet of their life and for all intents and purposes have lifelong disabilities that will cost millions and millions, and they have fought with everything they have against these families. So I cannot speculate on what they're going to do for Emma's family, but I can tell you that's what they've done to Mia's family. I can tell you that's what they've done to one of the ones that ended up in a wheelchair. I can tell you that's what they're doing to the family up in New Jersey where the boy was scalped, and they've ended up going all the way to the appellate court to force him back into arbitration.
Wow.
All right, they've gone to multiple appellate courts, which is a common tactic they use, appeal after appeal. I am in appeals with them in two states right now. Do you know how much an appellate brief costs? You're talking $70,000, and I've had to do them multiple times just to keep fighting. And I'm not even fighting for anything except to make it stop. All I'm doing is fighting to make them stop harassing me.
It is so insane that we allow this to go on and that they're only gaining more and more power. We're going to give you the good news on the other side. I told you we're saving it for dessert, but it's important that you understand the real risk here. And when children get hurt, even catastrophically hurt, it doesn't make the headlines. This girl died, unfortunately, so we're actually hearing about it. This is far, far from the first time this has happened, and it's only going to happen more. And I'm not saying we need to, like, you know, cynically use this, but this could be a case that could bring awareness to this that could help it not happen in the future. So I do hope you go and donate to her family. If they do end up having to fight this legally, we need them to win so we can stop this from ever happening again in the future. In loving memory of our angel Emma, GoFundMe.com/inlovingmemoryofourangelEmma with dashes in between all those words. We'll be right back with Tiffany Cianci. Don't go anywhere. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is brutal stuff. It's real.
Yeah.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our elections. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex. Things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. My number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, but you're amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at mypillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at mypillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For it, you go to mypillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. You walk on them and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not as low as $29.98. And I want to show you one more. You guys go there and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel and the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Over the weekend in Port St. Lucie, Florida, there was a tragic incident that occurred at the Urban Air Adventure Park there. 6-year-old Emma Riddle ended up losing her life after a go-kart accident. The family has reported that they were actually there at Urban Air in Port St. Lucie celebrating the birthday of Emma's older sister. And according to the 911 call that was released, Emma was in a go-kart, I'm assuming with another adult, but I do not know, and they were struck from behind. The caller said that it appeared that Emma struck her sternum and that they noticed blood, but they couldn't tell where that was coming from, that Emma appeared to be trying to throw up. She could not do that. She was breathing, but that she was incoherent. Just an absolutely terrible tragedy. So she was transported to the hospital. She passed away, I believe, the following day on Sunday. Now, some of you guys may recall a video that I made back in May of my friend Tiffany Cianci, who actually ended up being on the Candace Owens show, talking about her horrific experience with the parent company of Urban Air. Also on that episode, actually, I think there were two episodes released, there were several other cases of individuals who were severely injured, one of them permanently disabled from an incident at an Urban Air, different location, but at an Urban Air. Now, most of these incidents involved the zip line attraction called the Skyrider, and most of them involved the person being incorrectly harnessed. But just a quick Google search today, and I found another incident where a child was climbing a rock wall. The harness was on her. She was 30 feet high, and she went to jump off, like, you know, you kind of do when you come down off of a rock wall. You just kind of jump out and off, and it lowers you down slowly. That harness was either not connected to the safety.
Wow, yeah, there's a lot of examples of this, and we hardly ever hear about it. There's a reason, because these arbitration agreements and the way these private equity firms who buy up these adventure parks handle their legal business, absolutely brutal. I mean, I really don't even want to show that, because it's so heartbreaking and so brutal, and it's not for shock value that we show it, but because this is the consequence of what we're seeing in the economic world, right? It's not just about exploitation to earn a couple bucks. It's putting people in risk to earn a couple bucks, and it's only gets more brutal from there as you see the way these companies treat
their parents. And this isn't like a one-off private equity situation. If you look at Jerome Powell, who's been lowering interest rates that benefit private equity. Frankly, they're the ones that need cheap debt right now, not people, because the interest rates he's lowering don't bring down home loans.
Hmm.
That's bonds and treasuries, right? But Jerome Powell came from Carlyle Group. Carlyle Group was responsible for like 23,000 senior citizens' death.
Right.
When they bought a bunch of nursing homes and then bankrupted them and then left tens of thousands of senior citizens homeless overnight. But the report went in and investigated how many had died needlessly due to lack of care and poor staffing due to private equity cuts. And it was 23,000 grandparents, 23,000 senior citizens. This is not a one-off problem. If it has to do with someone's life, they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't own hospitals. You know, what did we find out? You have a 40% higher risk of dying after a surgery at a private equity-owned surgical center. You have a 13%, I think it was, increased risk of dying if you go to an emergency room owned by private equity. If we knew that about a plane, we wouldn't get on.
Right.
But we're not allowed to know. I would like some transparency, but we're not allowed to have it. And if we knew about any of these incidences and any of these deaths at any of these organizations, at any of these different areas of the economic like spectrum, if it was senior citizens or your pets or your kids, we should know about that. It should not be hidden in these secret arbitrations, period.
Yep, 100%. And if we knew about it, if we were allowed to know about these things, the company would either go under or would have to prevent it from ever happening by over-investing in safety, knowing that any failure, but because they can hide it, because they have these arbitration agreements, because they have you, just, you know, doing that thing that you do. You walk in, you sign the thing. All right, go ahead, kid. Have fun. I mean, you don't realize you are literally signing your life away when you do that in like a million different ways. It is truly insane. It's almost like compounds, right? It's like the adventure park will put you out of commission, then you're sent to a hospital that'll kill you, and it's like the whole time.
Oh, but they own all the funeral homes too, don't worry.
Oh, great.
They own all the funeral homes.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. Yeah, it's hard to even be funny about this. I mean, it's so absurd, it should be funny, but some things just aren't even worth laughing at. So again, it's about private equity systematically vampirizing these organizations and looking for easy places to cut corners, and probably one of the easiest places is, well, do we really need an extra safety thing? Like maybe, maybe not. Yeah, cut it, see what happens. And after all, hey, kid gets hurt, might cost you some arbitration fees, but it's not like you're going to go down for $100 million settlement. You own the judge. It's so cynical and disgusting.
When you've got a 97% chance of winning, that's a cost of doing business, baby.
Yeah. It's all very, very convenient for them.
Yep.
And again, I wish Republicans would be on this. Republicans should be on this, as I've made the case over and over and over again. If you actually like the free market, if you actually are a capitalist, this is who you need to defend capitalism against, the people inside capitalism exploiting it, destroying it, turning it evil, and making the argument for the socialists for them, who can look at this and go, capitalism killed this little girl. Yeah. They're not exactly wrong, except what we have now is not capitalism.
Nope.
So it's like the people who do love capitalism don't shrug at this and go, they're just mad people are making money. No, we're mad a little girl is dead because these people wanted to make extra money.
The free market cannot respond when the free market is blind. And if we are hiding bad conduct on the part of these corporations, the free market is blind. There is no free market, period.
Bingo. 100%. And so, again, it's like as much as I do not like Elizabeth Warren, she's right about this. You were talking about a thing by Cory Booker. Again, very low on my list of, politicians that I enjoy, just being frank. But if we can stop this, and I know the Elizabeth Warren video I saw, it was specifically about the old folks' homes.
Yeah, absolutely. She's actually made quite a few recently. She founded one of them sounded just like mine.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope I influenced that in some way because it was one of my more viral videos.
I hope so.
Where the scripts were really close. But she's speaking about it, and that's what matters. Ro Khanna talks about this quite a lot. But we have to be talking about this. And unfortunately, there's just too much money in them, in it for them. Our politicians are invested in all these private equity firms and they're paying them through all these PACs, which actually we're going to be talking about PACs here in a minute. But
so let's close out with this, with another encouragement to go support this family's GoFundMe. And if the crew can bring it up again, I'll read that URL once again. And another, request that if you know this family, if you're able to reach out to them or reach out to Tiffany Cianci. Obviously, don't reach out to them if you don't know them. Do not harass them in any way.
No.
But if you already know them or if you have friends of friends or whatever, pass Tiffany's info to them. If they want, they can reach out to her and she can really help them deal with this because I doubt they know the hell they're about to enter into.
Yeah.
Nobody expects to be raked over the coals legally when you have already experienced this undescribable tragedy. So GoFundMe.com/InLovingMemoryOfOurAngelEmma with dashes in between each of those last words, In Loving Memory of Our Angel Emma. I'm sure you can search that at GoFundMe.com. So I do encourage you to do that and encourage, if anybody can, connect to Tiffany so we can help this family endure the onslaught they're about to be under.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just absolutely tragic. What else do you have for us? I know we got Maha stuff.
We have some Maha stuff and we have some PAC stuff. If we're saving dessert for dessert, then let's go to Maha.
Okay. What's happening with Maha? You know, it's funny. It's like I should have known. I saw a video yesterday, RFK Jr., regenerative farming. And I saw it and I thought, great, that's awesome. That's probably really great. And then as soon as I go to bring it up to you, I see your face drop and I go, I should have known. I should have known it was too good to be true. I should have known our government doing something positive for the people. What a fool I was to think that was real. So, okay, RFK Jr. has come out, Maha Agenda, regenerative farming. Sounds good.
Yeah.
What is it?
So actually what this is actually kind of horrible. What they're about to do. No. Like the need for it is horrible. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So like this is a farmer bailout. It's a subsidy bailout for farmers that are just drowning. Okay.
Right.
Here's the thing. Our entire agricultural system is now monopolized by four companies.
Right.
Period. And those four companies know how much farmers get per bushel for their crops. And they collude. They engage in anti-competitive behavior to set their prices right at the line so that farmers can't survive. They're right at the edge to keep treading water, but never, ever actually being able to put food on the table. And that's why they know our government's going to come in and give out some subsidies or whatever. But all of these monopolists, right? You have two companies that handle all farming equipment. You have two seed companies that handle all seeds for farmers, right? You have like two companies that do all kinds of equipment maintenance. You have, just tying arrangements from like companies like John Deere, who recently faced a bunch of lawsuits because they were forcing you to go get your equipment worked on at their facilities, and they made it impossible to fix your equipment. And then they had like built in things that were going wrong,
right?
And farmers couldn't fix their equipment, and then they'd miss whole harvests because they had to pay exorbitant rates for these tying arrangements. Because when you are a monopolist, you have no reason to play ball. You have no reason to compete. And that is why competition is so important to our economy.
Yep.
Well, so right now what we have is a system where we are paying out tens of billions of dollars a year in subsidies because farmers will go bankrupt and they won't pay off the loans they have on these $1 million combines. Okay.
Right.
Which, by the way, these combines aren't $1 million in any other country where they have competition.
Right.
They're just $1 million here. Because they can charge whatever they want because they have no competition. And both companies have agreed, we're making money, baby. Record profits.
Right.
Okay? And so these farmers are making no money, and our country has to chronically come in and bail them out with subsidies. But here's the thing. The subsidies are lobbied for by these companies, the chem agri companies and the seed companies. They're lobbying for these subsidies so they can keep charging them more than the farmers could survive with, right? And so they lobby for the subsidies, and oftentimes they tie them to specific types of subsidies. So the money goes straight to them. It never gets to the farmers.
Right.
The money goes straight to these monopolies, period. And in this instance, it says, you know, we're giving out like $12 billion in subsidies and we're marking $700 million for regenerative farming. Except for that they're not defining what regenerative farming is. And the definition that these agrochemical companies provide is that you are basically, you're not creating soil health. Instead, you're going to use chemicals that align with what they say is regenerative to kill everything there and loosen the soil. And then the soil is not healthy. So you're not actually creating regenerative farming. You need to define what regenerative farming is, and you actually have to work to make sure you're creating a healthy environment. But why would we do that when we're giving immunity to pesticide companies?
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no impetus on us to do any of that. And so we shouldn't, first of all, we should not need it. We should have an FTC and a DOJ antitrust division that is doing their jobs and breaking up monopolies, because our farmers deserve a fair rate. They deserve a chance to survive. They've worked for hundreds of years on these farms. They've kept them in the family. They feed our country. And they have to beg for handouts because monopolies make it so.
Yep.
It's not one farmer. It's not two farmers. It's every non-industrial farmer. Every single one. They don't have a chance. There's just no way for them to do anything that will give them the opportunity. And so if this is where we're at, then we need to break up these monopolies, create competition, and in the meantime, support the farmers every way we can. But we should not be tying their subsidies to going to these corporations. And we should absolutely be going into these corporations and doing big investigations. And I'm not talking the kind of investigations we've been doing, where we go in and they say, oh, yeah, we did some bad things. We'll give the federal government $2 million.
Right.
We'll give them $2 billion.
Right. We made $200 million, so as a punishment, we'll give you two. Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Yep.
It
over
keeps
and over.
Happening. And so what we need to do is go break up these companies. We need real antitrust work. We need real antitrust action. And I expect it. We were promised that we were draining the swamp. We were promised that we were here for the little guy. We were promised that we were here to create competition and to get like the rot out of Washington. And what we have seen is anything but.
Yep.
And we were promised MAHA, frankly. And I am done waiting, because we don't have MAHA. What we have is this illusion of MAHA in one agency where they gave us one person that they thought represented MAHA, and then went to the two partnership agencies that would have to work with him and planted just swamp creatures at the top that defend only these corporations and lobby only for these corporations.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here.
Yeah,
okay?
Bring it in.
You're sending RFK Jr. as the paladin into the goblin nest.
Yep.
That has been building itself up and building up its defenses for decades on end.
I didn't expect him to solve everything in 1 year. It's been a year. Is he not making tangible moves? I mean, we've gotten the mRNA vaccines pulled out.
I am not saying he's not making tangible moves. I am saying by appointing Lee Zeldin to the EPA, by appointing who's been appointed over at USDA, and then watching them strip mine every program we had working to make America healthy again and stopping any new programs, he's not even being given the opportunity to do what he promised because he's been cut off at the knees by swamp creatures that were planted around him. I am not saying he's not working hard. He is absolutely working hard. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you don't have partnership and buy-in from the EPA and the USDA, it's not possible. And that's why we have this headline today. Where is it? That says that today, because all of MAHA leadership is up in arms over this $700 million, and the new, if you guys don't know at home, our EPA just passed two new forever chemical pesticides that will put forever chemicals directly on your vegetables. Directly, or directly in the feed that goes into the animals that you're going to eat. I'm pretty sure that we've already found out that forever chemicals are incredibly harmful. That is a fact. Yeah. Okay? And so they just approved these horrifying new, brand new forever chemical pesticides. Now that is not MAHA. Period. And all of MAHA is up in arms, and so now Zeldin has made an announcement. Lee Zeldin says that there's going to be a MAHA agenda for the EPA coming soon. Well, guess what, Lee? Guess what? If you've already passed all of these new pesticides that are going to poison us, if you've already done everything you have to do, including Trump's DOJ last week, appealing to the Supreme Court to grant immunity to all pesticide companies, and the reason they gave is spectacular. Are you ready? The reason the DOJ is asking the Supreme Court to grant immunity to all pesticide companies is because they said if the EPA says it's safe, then it's not up to anyone else to say it's unsafe. Oh, it has to be safe. God. We're supposed to accept their decision, and it should be unlitigatable.
Just like vaccines.
Anything. Nobody's ever gotten science wrong. We've never learned from science later that something was wrong. And when you have lobbyists in a revolving door through these regulatory regimes, which should be illegal, period. Yeah. When you have these lobbyists coming in and out like Lee Zeldin, who is a lobbyist, right? When you have these people rotating through and serving the interests of their former clients that they will go back to and take as clients again the second they don't have their job. You have to rely on the checks and balances our founding fathers gave us to restore that fairness for the American people. The courts were made to challenge accepted science. The courts were made to challenge accepted bureaucracy. The courts were made to challenge safely and effectively safety, right? And if we don't get to go in and do discovery and prove that things have happened and they're not doing these investigations at the EPA, what has changed since they approved glyphosate? Do you think science hasn't changed in 30 years?
Right.
Well, it's good. We haven't done any studies. But definitely that science 30 years ago should bar anyone from bringing a lawsuit.
And again, it's just exactly the same as the private equity we're talking about here, where if companies knew, okay, if we start causing cancer, our whole company's going down, it'll be humiliating and cost us billions of dollars and I'll end up in jail, they're going to be really careful about what they push.
Yes.
It's just, it's so mind-blowing to me that you would tell companies like that who are messing with this type of risk, you know what? All the risk you're taking is positive. If it works, you're good. If it doesn't work, we'll take care of it. It is so absurd. This is not capitalism. This is an abject violation of capitalistic principles.
And so when she says, when we have them coming out and releasing a statement that says, don't worry, guys, I know you're upset about these new forever chemicals. I know you're upset about the immunity that is literally, if anyone watching at home doesn't know this, the highest instances of lymphoma and leukemia in the United States are in one profession. They're all clustered together in one profession, and that is farming.
Yep.
Farmers are most likely to die of lymphoma. They have fresh vegetables, they have fresh fruits, they have freshly slaughtered meat, and they're dying of lymphoma in record numbers. Couldn't be the chemicals. Mm. Why would we look at that? The EPA said 36 years ago they were safe. I'm sorry. But if we're asking, what happens next? What happens when the next guy, if this passed at the Supreme Court, what happens when the next guy comes in? And let's say, let's talk to the Democrats. You guys are upset about a lot of what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing. If this were the new precedent at the Supreme Court, you could not bring a case to challenge anything he decides. Do you not see that when you do these things, you have to think long term when there's rotations through office? And I am sorry, but given how much that bureaucracy has been infiltrated by these horrible corporations and these monopolies, given how much control they have, given the unmitigated spending they get to do, given the unmitigated bribery they get to execute, I am sorry, but I need our court system to start doing something and stopping it by cutting it off at the knees because the DOJ said, hey, guys, we'd really like you to stop that because the donations are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. I don't have it. I'm sorry. I have no patience for it.
Bayer wears Roundup, weighs Roundup exit as cancer legal bills nears $18 billion. And honestly, it should be a lot higher than that. And remember, they hired like black offices or whatever you'd phrase, you know, they'd have a black budget where they had literal spies from Monsanto who would go out to like intimidate and harass journalists to stop them reporting on this. So it's not like they didn't know. It's not like you can, you know, go, oh my God, cancer. I can't believe it. It's like, well, if you didn't know it caused cancer, why did you pay people to cover up the fact it caused cancer? I mean, they know exactly what they're doing, whether it's that or atrazine or anything else.
And if we're going to die, okay, if Trump brought in Bobby to be the head of MAHA, I want to be very clear. Bobby made his name in his career by getting the largest award in history for bringing a case against glyphosate and Roundup.
Right.
Okay, on behalf of farmers. That was his life's work. And then we plant industry insiders to work against him. Mm. How's he supposed to do it?
Oh, now he's getting impeached by the Democrats.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right.
How crazy is that?
I want to get to dessert, and I know we're running
out of time. Okay, all right. Let's finish off strong here.
All right. So I want to talk to you guys about Maine, because Maine is doing something awesome. So Maine has, they passed a law last year with a 75% of the voting pool passed this law. And the law was aimed at limiting how much contributions could be to super PACs to encourage public financing. They wanted to make some really good electoral changes, but they also knew this was going to be challenged. And just like clockwork, they passed this law saying you could only give, I think it's $5,000 to a PAC. Okay. And everybody's going to say Citizens United. Well, Citizens United never looked at contributions to PACs. That's not what they ever looked at.
Oh.
And, so what they did was they immediately got sued to stop it by two PACs. And then that got held up in the courts. And now they're on a track to the Supreme Court where we're going to relook at a case out of the DC, appellate court called, it's called Speech Now. I think it's called Speech Now. I'll double check, but Speech Now. And that case was an expansion by a lower court of Citizens United.
Okay.
Where this lower appellate court did not let it go to the Supreme Court. And they said, listen, if we're saying that companies are allowed to have speech independently, then PACs should have it too.
Mm.
But they never let the Supreme Court look at a lot of these details. And so right now, Maine has a case that is tracking its way to the Supreme Court, and they need our support on this. I want the justices to know we're watching this. I want everyone to know, because what this case is looking at is whether or not you can hide your contributions and use these super PACs to move dark money into Washington without accountability and without disclosure. And what I want to do is I want to see accountability. 98% of Americans believe that we should get corporate money out of politics, 98%. And this case has a chance of really limiting that.
That's fantastic. And, of course, you just have to look at some of the major PACs and who they're going after. Thomas Massey, obviously, is one where, you know, it's a couple billionaires putting in tens of millions of dollars to oust him. That's not the way our system's supposed to work. It's not supposed to be the people of Kentucky competing against, you know, foreign billionaires pouring
money
into their system.
American billionaires. They only serve America.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Well, foreign to Kentucky, if nothing else, right?
Yeah,
hell, you don't want somebody from Tennessee interfering with Kentucky. Clearly, this is not the way it's supposed to work. Nope. And it's such a just cheap circumvention of the law where it's like, you can only give $5,000. All right, well, what if I give $10,000 to this thing and then they give it? Oh, that's fine. It's like, okay, then what the hell? Why even have the law?
Yep.
If we're gonna, it's the spirit of the law is our politicians should not be able to be bought out like this.
Well, and when the Supreme Court looked at Citizens United, Citizens United said that corporations could not be hindered from giving money independently.
Right.
That case never looked at PACs. It was the Speech Now lowercase that created PACs and gave them this unmitigated control of this dark money. But they said that it had a right to give independently. Super PACs are collusion.
Right.
Okay. They're dumping money somewhere and someone else is deciding how to spend it. That is not independent spending. Okay. And now there are entire PACs that are aimed at taking out specific politicians.
Right.
That is not like, that's not the good faith free speech that was ever conceived of in Citizens United. Now I don't agree with Citizens United. I don't believe corporations should have human rights.
Right.
I don't believe that. I don't believe corporations should have a right to the same rights that you and I have. Because as, I saw actually at a, a debate one time. They said corporations don't have an ass to kick or a soul to damn.
Exactly.
And you know what? They don't. So why are they entitled to the same human rights that we have?
You can't throw them in jail.
But this case is making its way through the U.S. Court of Appeals. I think we're headed to the First Circuit. It's coming. We need to back Maine on this. Everybody should be watching Maine. And you know what? If you're in a referendum state, you should be passing the same law and then joining with them.
Absolutely. Give us that headline one more time so people can find it.
So it's the Maine lawsuit that could save democracy from big money from thenation.com.
Powerful stuff. I can't believe we're already out of time. Tiffany Cianci at the Vino Mom on X, TiffanyCianci.com, and of course she's on TikTok where we're live right now. Shout out to the TikTok crew.
Hey, TikTok.
That's gonna do it for the week here on InfoWars. We'll see you back on Monday. Tiffany, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks
once again. Bubbly little fairy of doom. We ended on a high note. We'll get money out of politics
sometime, and it's gonna be hysterical.
That'd be amazing. You should. All right. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew, a cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree, everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph and more, give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.